If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
This program contains graphic images which may be disturbing to sensitive viewers. The people profiled all survive. Discretion is advised.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, is Dow Doe. Doe Toe. Kevin and Bean, I just don't know what the hell to tell you guys, man. I just got back from a damn buffet, and I went to Todai Buffet. You know how much they charged me? About $25, Kevin Bean.
What's the point of this story?
Well, I make plenty of money so I can afford any food, but at least I'm pretty good at it. I'm trying to watch my weight, Kevin Bean.
I think you're confusing interesting with boring.
I'm almost freaking about 220. I really need to get down to 190.
Are you aware that you're still talking?
So at least I just got back from this buffet, man.
I cannot remember a time before you started telling that story.
So, Kevin Bean, I really want to make it in the entertainment industry, so I guess I know what I'm doing.
The category is people who annoy you.
I know what the hell I hate to do, so... Yeah, my stomach, man, it's just really killing me.
Exciting story.
And now...
I talk to you guys later. Bye.
Our feature presentation.
106.7 K-Rock Carol Q. That's the Ramones for you there, doing the Jan and Dean classic of Surf City. Nope. Of course, that goes out to everybody out in Huntington Beach. Surf City, definitely. Anyway, I got to admit, when I was a kid, a little kid, when the first time I actually did hear that song, I was in Santa Cruz. And I remember being in a car, and they had all the windows down, and we blasted it out the window, but I did hear it for the first time in Santa Cruz, even though Surf City is Huntington Beach. Right. And but you heard the Ramones doing it. I did do a version of Surfing Safari with the Ramones, and someday I'm going to play that for you. It's pretty rare.
Don't do that.
Anyway, listening to Rodney on the Rock. Got a band here, pretty interesting. Some girls and guys in this band. Here they are.
Oh, that was nice.
Oh, that was nice. Do it again.
You know, if there's any silver lining, if there's any good news in this, it's that Rodney may be dead and gone, but the tapes still survive. I mean, generations from now can still hear the magic that was Rodney back when he existed and did a show on K-Rock.
I'm pretty sure he's still alive.
Well, no, I don't think so.
No,
but what
I think he is.
What are you basing that on? They buried him down on Hollywood Boulevard, guys. Don't you even remember? It was like 2 months ago.
That was the star on the Walk of Fame.
Remember they had the big funeral and all those people showed up and everybody spoke about what a good guy he was? I saw it on television.
That was the star on the Walk of Fame. He's still alive. He was there. He made a speech.
Look, it was on TV. People know. You can keep up the charade as long as you want, but people know what you're doing here.
Boy, God, this weather, I swear. Drive carefully, and when you go through those puddles, pump your brakes a little after you go out of the puddle. Kind of keep them together.
All right. Good tip.
See, that's advice from the grave. Now there's a lot of people saying we shouldn't be playing the tapes because of the trauma that it causes his victims.
No, that's his victims?
That's what I heard. Yeah,
I think you're mistaken.
They were saying it was irresponsible for us to put those tapes on the air because he's dead and all the carnage he caused when he was alive.
I think you're mistaking this for the Virginia Tech thing.
Yeah.
Well,
his name was Cho. This is Rodney.
Very different.
Still alive.
Can do that again. Man, I hate the 90s. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, it's Rodney here.
I've never heard anyone crack themselves up more over absolutely nothing. I mean, there was nothing that was funny there, but yeah, he was very happy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do we have I Hate the 90s?
He'll be missed.
He's not dead, people. He's still alive. Yes. Best song ever besides Sam the Armenian Comedian.
Why do people send me large and extra large t-shirts? What happened to medium and small t-shirts? Why do girls have spikes on their tongue? Marsha Brady never had one. She's Godhead. I hate the 90s.
Have enough?
Yeah.
No, I can listen to that all day.
What happened to tube tops?
All day.
No girl I know can pass the pencil test. Tattoos, body piercing, the whole world has lost its head. Lost its head. Tattoo removal is the new way. Let's open up tattoo removal parlors across the land.
Oh, okay.
I hate the 90s.
I mean, he was only, what, 63 or something?
But 73. He was 73.
Oh, was he 73? He crammed a lot of living into his life. You know what I mean? He lived fast and he died hard.
He didn't die. He's still alive.
Sure that's how that expression goes at all. But
he also didn't live fast.
He still has the he still has the Sunday Night Show from like 2 to 2:05.
Right, they roll the tapes, of course.
No,
I know.
It's but what live. Oh, for God's sake.
They archived everything.
Je vous ai touché à Martin.
Okay, thank you, Rodney.
I don't know when you became a mouthpiece for the man with your denial. I mean, seriously, just admit it. It's our listeners. They deserve to know the truth.
Hey, it's Friday. I'm Rodney. You're Friday. Hey, it's Rodney Bingenheimer here, winding down another week of great flashback. Well, that's Richard's show. Man, what am I doing? Am I doing the flashback show or what?
No. Brian Wilson speaks for Janice. Tattoos and body piercing is the new menace. S&M doesn't stand for Sonic Youth or the Monkees. All the cute girls in the 90s are all junkies.
Yeah. And?
Your conclusion is?
I hate the 90s.
He's really got a bee up his butt about tattoos. What
yes,
the hell?
He does. You know he does. What the thing that frustrates me the most about Rodney's I Hate the 90s is that he got like an all-star cast of rock musicians and producers to help him with that.
Oh, really?
And it's like, of all people for Thurston Moore from Sonic Youth and like Butch Vig to waste their time on, they did it with that. You know,
how
when
dare
there's
you?
100,000 guys in Southern California that could probably make better use of it and will never get the chance.
I'd like to say no one could make better use of it.
Well, you're right.
But Rodney is one of a kind. Was one of a kind. So
exactly. That's we're good. All
stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi.
Okay, no.
Not yet. Sorry. Nope. She's still alive though, right? Or no?
No, she's alive.
No, she's dead. Rodney is alive.
No, she's alive.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm confused.
All right. Good morning, everybody. It's a Tuesday morning. It's the 24th of Aprilingus. And let's talk about today's Kevin and Meacho, shall we?
All right.
All right.
Doug Kriegel, Channel 4 News, rain coverage.
I can't wait.
I did not see any of this. I mistakenly, like a doofus, watched Channel 7 Friday during all the rain, and I totally missed what Channel 4 was doing.
Channel 7 was spectacular as well. But last Friday, as you remember, it was raining pretty hard. And boy, do the news stations just fly into action when that happens. And they send out their brightest and their best.
Absolutely.
Doug Kriegel, the man who is one breath away from an aneurysm, is covering the rain. And he's special. I mean, that Channel 4 really doesn't, a situation like this doesn't come along all that often. We're very blessed to be living in the heyday of Channel 4 News.
Well, of course, in L.A. I mean, because that's where the best come.
Of course.
Yeah.
Also on today's show, we got to talk to the King of Mexico about how the fact that he, lost 3 bets and does not have the money to pay or the credits.
Uh-oh.
What are we doing
by the way, there are some neighborhoods that'll get your ankles broken. You know what I mean? If all of a sudden it's time to pay up and you just don't have the money. I mean, that is bad, bad form.
That's what I'm talking about. Just before I send somebody to break some knees, we need to talk to him today.
Hi, this is Kristen Bell, and you're listening to the Dave the King of Mexico show on the world-famous K-Rock.
Dave, if you add equal parts of red paint and blue paint, what color paint do you get?
Orange?
No, sir. Orange. Be purple. Purple, the color you get.
So maybe he doesn't go, what are you smarter than a fifth grader to try to win the money back?
No, that's probably not going to help. Lakers are in the playoffs tonight. They have game 2 against the Suns, and James Worthy is going to be in our studio.
Oh, he's coming in.
Oh,
fantastic.
No, he may be calling. I'm not positive. We have him on the show today, though. Talk to James Worthy. Very excited about that. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com talking about the Alec Baldwin thing and everything else that's going on his site.
Excellent.
One of Harvey's last phone interviews before he gets sent to prison.
He's not going to prison. What is wrong with you?
Well, I guess that'll be for a judge to decide. I don't know that we get to make the decision. I hope he doesn't, but it sounds like Alec Baldwin's coming after him.
He may be, but I put my money on Harvey.
He's a lawyer. I'm sure he figured everything out
before
he
doing.
Went with this. Yeah.
D.L. Hughley is going to be in the studio today. He's got some stand-up, so we're going to talk to him.
Cool.
And we have Coachella tickets for you. You get to pick your day, and we're going to do that in the 6 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Any day. Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. This weekend, Coachella. We'll give you a chance to win those coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat now. So that dude kills the other dude, and then the chick, she pulls it out, and then he's better, and then Mr. Lindemann isn't the leader, but then Mr. Thompson is, or whatever his name, and then
Boy, I'm confused.
I haven't even watched it yet, and so I don't know confused. What you're talking about.
Kevin, you should not be the one trying to explain what's going on with Heroes, okay?
How great was that episode last night?
It was fantastic.
Well, they're
that
all good.
That show kicks ass.
That's even when good.
You can admit that Heroes kicks Lost's ass, right? Heroes does everything right that Lost does wrong.
Yeah.
I would agree with
but
that.
But I still enjoy Lost.
I still like Lost better than you do, but Heroes is pretty spectacular. Even when I don't understand what's going on, it's great.
That show constantly delivers every episode and is filled with complete surprises that at the same time are not BS at all, that feed exactly into the storyline. The only reason you're surprised by what happens on Heroes is because you don't have all the information you need. And once they give it to you, it all starts to click and fall into place. It's just amazing writing. Last night, I was blown away by that episode. Yeah. Everybody you think is a bad guy turns out to be a good guy and vice versa, and people surprise you with what they know that you didn't know they knew. Ah, it was so good.
That's a great
show. Malcolm McDowell, by the way, is Lindemann. It's just going to be so much fun to watch. He's such a good
actor.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome. Isn't he also, doesn't he have a recurring role on Entourage, too? Isn't he the guy who runs the agency that fired? Yeah,
he was Ari's boss originally.
Right. He's great.
Let's not forget Claire Bennett, the cheerleader. Another week closer to being 18 years old, ladies and gentlemen. And that's something that I think about every week when I watch that show.
I'm sure you do.
I'm preoccupied when I'm watching that show. Creepy I think about boy. It after that.
Me too. You know what I'm saying? All right, it's 5:49. It's Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yeah, we got your tickets for Coachella. You got a chance to win those a couple of times on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. In fact, you get to choose your night. So stick around for that. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz. Good morning, Ralph.
What's Grandma's powers, do you think? You know, she's got you know, she's got something going on.
She understands everyone else's.
She used to be part of the superhero team that Linderman used to run back in the old days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh. I want that show to air again tonight. A brand new episode. Can't wait. So good. All right. Here's the thing about being a celebrity. You can get away with crap that no one else can. Jennifer Lopez. Her career might be sputtering here in the U.S., but apparently she's still very hot in Russia. Because MSNBC has just announced that a Russian business tycoon has forked over $2 million to have J-Lo sing at his wife's 30th birthday party.
Wow.
She can charge $2 million to sing a couple songs at a birthday party.
Dude. $2
million? She gets $1.2 million as her fee. Then another $800,000 is paid to her posse's expenses. It comes out to, given the length of her performance, about $50,000 per minute she'll be performing.
Wow.
That's her rate. Now, keep
in
mind.
Do we know anything about this guy?
Yeah.
Is he just some Russian billionaire or something?
Melnichenko is his name. Andrei Melnichenko. He is a Russian banker who's worth about $5
billion. Dude.
So a couple mil to him really is no big deal. But still, that's a pretty sweet gig. They fly to Russia for an evening and you make quick $2 mil.
Wow.
If I was her, I wouldn't do anything else.
Yeah,
I'd forget about the career, the acting, the CDs. Yep. I would just do birthday parties.
Let's go on the birthday circuit.
I would get myself a clown suit and make some balloon animals and bring a bouncy house, and I would just specialize in birthday parties at those kind of numbers.
Well, you know, you did a story last year, I think it was, Ralph. This is apparently very common with these celebrities. There's a lot of these kinds of shows going on that don't make the news that we never hear about, where somebody will fly to somebody's city and do a show at their house for a couple of hundred grand, and it's just kind of under the radar, but that's what they do.
Bar mitzvahs, weddings, birthday parties. It's incredible. Now, I'm thinking this Melnichenko guy, he's got to be pretty busy, right? He's got to have a full life.
Right.
And yet, he's still, he's making $5 billion a year. He's got to be a busy man. Yet, somehow, he's still carving out time, not only to throw his wife a birthday party, which is nice, but to find Jennifer Lopez and to somehow squeeze her into his busy schedule and allow her to perform at his birthday party.
As a billionaire with everything he's got going on personally and professionally, how do you think it's possible that he can make time to do that, Ralph?
Well, Bean, I did a little research, and it turns out even if you're a Russian billionaire and your schedule is just wall-to-wall full of meetings and business transactions...
Do you not have any stories?
Turns out there's always room for J-Lo! Good morning.
Oh, this is turning out to be a total waste of time.
Interesting celebrity romance news. Rachel Bilson apparently has a new boyfriend.
Yes.
Ricky Martin.
What?
No, because Ricky Martin. I think we all know biologically how that can't be possible.
Well, that's what I thought,
allegedly.
Too.
Allegedly.
But apparently he's living La Vida Loca with Rachel Bilson these days. They ran into each other in Miami, and the two were spotted having a romantic dinner later that night. This was over the weekend. He's 11 years older than she is, by the way.
Yeah, I figured.
But apparently the two are very, very cozy in the corner of this restaurant. It's according to Puerto Rican newspaper El Nuevo Día.
They're good.
Are they not aware?
Does she not know either?
I know they were both making eyes at the waiter. That's all I know.
Yeah. I just see her calling back home going, yeah, Ricky Martin and I went out to dinner and it seemed like it was going well. And then he just went back up to his room. What's up?
He ordered room service.
Waiter.
Michael Bublé, you know, he's been dating Emily Blunt for some time. She's the British actress who was in Devil Wears Prada. Very talented actress. I always, you know, the celebrities usually make us look horrible, guys, in terms of how they propose to their girlfriends.
Right.
Well, finally, we can feel a little bit better about ourselves.
Excellent.
He's the worst at it.
Excellent.
He was on a radio show last week being interviewed, and they asked, you know, what's the future of marriage between you two? And he said, and I quote, I really feel like, you know, I'm going to marry her. I want to be the dad of her kids. I haven't proposed to her yet, but I will do that. In a way, I'm sort of proposing to her now through this interview.
Oh,
wow,
no.
That's romantic. That's sweet. Yeah. You romantic bastard.
Oh, God.
I guess I'm kind of saying that now.
No word on what her answer was to that vague request of marriage.
I know. What do you say when he shows up? It's like, did he do it?
I was listening to you on the radio. Is there
something we should talk about?
I guess I sort of, I don't know what you're asking, but I guess I would answer correctly.
If you were to ask.
Can I recreate Bean's proposal?
Sure.
What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. You want to go to Vegas and get married? That's how his went.
Yeah, that's true.
And she said yes.
I know. That's the downfall of that whole thing.
Oddly enough.
Did you guys catch Dancing with the Stars last night?
No.
TV'd it.
Heather Mills, did she fall?
Sadly, no.
Die?
But Layla Ali was the big
winner.
Well, tonight they decide who's going to get booted, but she had the best scores last night. Out of a possible 30 points, she got 28.
Mm. Wow.
Dude.
She did knock out her partner. I think that helped.
I don't think
she won by
boxing.
TKO. She won by TKO.
No.
I think.
She
wasn't boxing.
Not on this show. She's not boxing on this show.
You guys watching, speaking of boxing, the Mayweather De La Hoya show on HBO on Sunday nights?
I taped it. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, come on.
I know.
Kevin, the fight's in 2 weeks, for Christ's sake.
And I know I would love it, too.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
This week's episode is just amazing. Just amazing. That Floyd Mayweather, he's a soft-spoken young man.
He's a good guy.
He is.
Nice man.
Tonight's American Idol performance show. The finalists will all be singing a genre they haven't used yet on American Idol. Life anthems.
What are life anthems?
I have no idea, but it's going to blow.
It's top-notch gay.
Life anthems is the theme for tonight's show. Are they officially out of genres of music to sing?
I have never heard of that. What is that?
I had to guess, it's probably like I Will Survive and things like that are inspirational that you can, you know, kind of live by, maybe.
Sort of, you know, power ballads, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Date rape, that kind of thing?
Life anthems. Well,
probably not date rape.
Your life's built around date rape, and then you could use that, Kevin, but I'm guessing other people won't.
Who's the celebrity musical guest this week?
It doesn't say who is coaching the kids this week, at least in this story. So.
Why do you people watch this show?
We'll have to watch the Life Lessons episode and see.
Don't make me watch the full hour tonight of Life Lessons, Bean, and bring it in and ask you to defend how it's good. Don't make me do that.
Good. It's a good show, I'm telling you. Now, when is the Idol Gives Back, the big star-studded charity thing, Ralph? Is that this week, too?
That event is Wednesday night, but I don't know if they are showing it live or just going to edit down a TV version afterwards. Hollywood Reporter says Ellen DeGeneres is serving as host.
This is the one with Bono and everybody on it, right?
It's an amazing lineup. It really is. The charity concert will feature appearances from Bono, Gwen Stefani, Pink, Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, as you can imagine, Celine Dion, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Il Divo, Keira Knightley, Hugh Grant, Josh Groban, Jack Black, Helen Mirren, Rascal Flatts, Quincy Jones, and Annie Lennox.
Damn.
Yeah. Damn indeed. It's pretty star-studded.
And so. Simon comes out and tells them all they suck?
Yes.
That'd be awesome.
Bono, you're horrible. You have no future in this business.
Get a haircut.
Speaking of reality...
I'm sorry. Can I hear you, Simon, again, Bean?
Nope.
Speaking of reality TV and American Idol, Sanjaya was on Letterman last night.
Yes.
He did the top 10 list.
Okay.
Of top 10 things I learned from American Idol.
Right.
Sanjaya, number 10. Just a few highlights. Sanjaya said, number 10... The camera adds 10 pounds to your mohawk.
Oh!
Yeah.
Work hard and make sacrifices. You can too can finish in seventh place. That was pretty funny. I should have gone for the immunity idol. Oh, wait, that's Survivor. On camera, Simon's a bit nasty, but off camera, he's a total jerk. Number three, honestly, I thought I was auditioning for Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And number one, America loves performers with bad hair. Right, Dave? So apparently that was...
Good thing his writers came up with those. Dave's writers.
Yeah, absolutely.
According to DNN, Dave News Network, Bono will be the coach tonight, Bean.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
Bono's not good?
He's great, but going on that show.
But see, here's what you don't get, Kevin. Every celebrity in the world that they interview... Quentin Tarantino is a perfect example. Came into our studio. That's all he wanted to talk about. Everybody watches this show.
I know. I get it, dude. I get it.
And if you're going to be in Vegas next weekend, the perfect collision of entertainment values will be represented.
Excellent.
According to rumors, Jessica Simpson will suit up with the Pussycat Dolls at a performance in their Vegas stage show.
Really?
On May 4th. So you can check that out.
All right, then.
She's looked good lately, by the way.
I'm not going for the brunette thing. But
really,
still,
I like it.
If there's something for her to do, it is get semi-nude with the Pussycat Dolls and prance around that stage. Just two great tastes that taste great together right there. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying? That's peanut butter and chocolate right there.
I don't understand.
No? Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that peanut butter and chocolate applause. Today's celebrity birthdays, Barbara Streisand, legendary singer, actress, diva. One of Kevin's favorites.
Yeah, she loves her.
65 years old today.
I want to go see Barbara Streisand again when she comes. Oh, she's my favorite.
It's not me.
Cedric the Entertainer. I think I was the last one to see Barbara Streisand, quite frankly. Cedric the Entertainer, actor and comedian, is 43 years old today. Patty Schimmel from Hole is 40 years old today. Melinda Clark. Our pal Melinda Clark. Julie from the OC turns 38 years old today. Hottest girl on that show, right, Psycho Mike?
Easily.
I agree. And speaking of American Idol, Kelly Clarkson, the original American Idol, she's 25 years old today. I'm being seriously with the
Wait bell. A minute. She gets a bell?
Seriously.
She does for
Very
me.
Very talented girl. I think the world of her, but she's not. She's not a bell.
I think I heard two bells, so I'm going to take a...
There we go. Thank you.
She does look better than sometimes at other times. I will give you that. But she cleans up okay.
Yep. You've got low standards for the bell, dude.
Yeah, I don't think clean up okay is really bell worthy. I don't think you get a bell for cleaning up okay.
That means at her best, with the makeup and hair, she's okay.
Yeah.
This is why we have this rehearsal showbiz beat every morning before 6 a.m., because then the rest of the show, we got it straight.
I think we got the wrong guy running the bell. That's what I think.
No doubt.
She's a muffin
top.
No
doubt gets a bell.
The muffin top, and she refuses to wear like muffin top clothes. She always wears like hot belly tops. That's whack.
That's well, there you have whack. It.
Word has come down.
It's
officially whack.
Word is bond.
Yo. Thank you, Psycho Wigga.
No sweat, dude.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Offspring, also Modest Mouse, Rage Against the Machine coming up. D.L. Hughley on the show today. James Worthy talking about how the Lakers can beat the Suns. And your tickets for Coachella later this half hour, too, on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Stick around for that.
Shoot all the Suns? Is that the plan?
How dare you suggest that the Lakers couldn't beat the Suns?
All right, so you're saying they're going to win?
I'm not saying that.
All right.
Let's talk about Channel 4 News. We love Channel 4 News because they are so sensationalistic. And usually...
They've got all the good ones. You got Paul.
Paul Moyer.
The King. You've got Chuck Henry driving trucks through fires.
Right.
And then you have your next special guest.
And Skunky, too. Don't forget Skunky.
Skunky.
Oh, you got her.
Got everybody. All the good characters in news are on Channel 4.
You also have Doug Kriegel. And Doug Kriegel is magic. He's just straight magic. Now, when it rains, like it did this past Friday, all of the TV stations go into high gear, man. They get around their, you know, tables and the planning meetings in the morning, and they send this person there and that person there, and they try to think of all these unique angles that they could go through. Hey, man, it's raining. They go out and do Man on the Street. You don't have an umbrella. Wow, were you not prepared? This is what Channel 7 did.
Right.
And so they try to think of the angles maybe nobody else has taken, but basically it's just raining. And the two staples of the news coverage are showing the rain and interviewing schmoes.
Yeah, and they have team coverage. So they throw it to one guy who's in the San Fernando Valley talking to somebody about the rain. And then now let's throw it to L.A. And then they'll have somebody else talking to somebody else about the rain. Then they'll throw it to Orange County and find out how they're doing. And it's really, really just rain. It's not like an earthquake and you're trying to give us details on where the damage is, which buildings have fallen. It's really just rain.
Doug always somehow seems to pull this plum assignment, though. He seems to be invariably the man they send into the street when it rains.
Ralph, describe his physical delivery. Is he about to die or what?
Kriegel had his diaphragm removed, I think, at an early age. So he really has no way to propel air from his lungs while he's speaking. So he really is just everything's just barely getting out there.
Does he smoke out of a hole in his throat, too, by the way?
There's just no diaphragm. There's just no way to propel the air out from his lungs. It just kind of leaks out as he talks.
Poor guy.
So he's thinking to himself, all right, listen, I've done the rain coverage how many times? I need a unique angle. Where should I go that will be a unique angle? And wait till you hear where he went.
Out on the freeways, there were major accidents all over town. All day long, tow yards were busy.
That's where he went, to the tow trucks.
What? Oh,
okay. I'm in a tow yard.
The news in Southern California, accidents happened on the freeway, and people got towed. One man even changed a tire.
Now, what do you think causes the accidents?
Drivers were just going too fast on wet pavement.
Oh, drivers going too fast on wet pavement.
Oh, there's some insight.
I see.
According to witnesses.
Okay, now.
Well, thank God they had witnesses on the scene.
Now he goes to a witness.
Otherwise, it's pure conjecture.
I can't understand how those cars hit.
He goes to a witness now to back him up.
We got here a driver that is driving too fast on a slippery surface right after rain.
Okay, that's it. That's it. So he says,
"That's his witness, okay.
Cars are going too fast on a slippery road." And then he has a guy say, "Cars are going too fast on a slippery road."
Experts speculate it's not going too fast; it's stopping too slow that caused the accident.
So then, that's not enough. He's not happy enough with his tow truck angle. He needs now a different angle. What else could he talk about with the rain that maybe nobody else has thought of?
The beautiful flower beds that adorn many front lawns have been suffering in the dry weather.
He shows some flowers.
Suffering.
Okay. Suffering.
Today there was floral joy in many gardens.
Floral joy in many gardens.
There was floral joy.
According to witnesses. I interviewed a flower, and here's what it had to say.
Is he unaware that people water their flowers when it's dry?
Yes, he's unaware of that.
There's floral joy in many gardens.
They got a drink, you know? Flowers need their water just like we do.
There you go. That's
according to witnesses.
That's his witness. That's his backup.
8 cups a day.
They got a drink just like we do. It's the same thing.
Do flowers need water, sir?
Imagine the question leading up to that soundbite. Yeah, they have to drink.
Can you talk to us about your flowers on camera? So that's not enough. Now he's done tow trucks and he's done flowers and the floral joy. But he needs to get another man on the street interview. So he finds somebody who's here from out of state. And he talks about how crazy bad the weather is here.
75 degrees in my state in South Dakota. And I come out here for the warm weather for racing, and we're freezing to death.
These people are just as bad as Doug.
I know.
If he came up to me while I was raining, I'd say, get your fat face out of my fat face.
That's the beauty. Anybody who's going to answer these kinds of questions has nothing to say. So the guy's laughing about how it's 75 degrees back home and he's freezing here. And by the way, that was only one day, wasn't it, on Friday, basically?
Half a day.
So then Doug puts it all in perspective and gives us kind of a big wrap-up to that guy and everyone else that's been talking.
How about that guy?
Wow.
The wacky weather continued all day. Rained for a while. Sun came out. Live in Panorama City, Doug Kriegel, Channel 4 News.
Okay, up-to-date coverage right there. Sun came out.
Then it rained a little, and then the sun came out. Do we need somebody on television saying those words?
Never. Under any
circumstances. We do if it's Doug Kriegel.
Oh.
The cold made some floral sorrow, but then the sun coming out made additional floral joy.
Paul, your thoughts?
Yeah, how about that guy?
So that's the band that's getting together to play their first concert. And how long this Sunday night at the Coachella Festival is the headline Sunday night? How long has it been since Rage broke up? It's got to be...
Has it been
four or five years?
Seven years, I think, since they...
Damn!
I'm not sure about that.
Well, you can choose Sunday if you want to see them with Happy Mondays, Kaiser Chiefs, Roots, The Kooks, so much more. How about Friday, if that's more to your liking? Jesus and Mary Chain, Arctic Monkeys, Peeping Tom, Bjork, Interpol. How about Saturday? Arcade Fire, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Decemberists, The Rapture, Kings of Leon. I mean, there's dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of bands every day. All 3 days of the festival, and tickets, of course, are sold out. You can win your tickets and choose your day right now. I'm going to play a new game for you.
I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined, we are El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede!
Pom, 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 pom
Time for the game.
Would you guys say you're married to that intro?
I love it.
So, is this what happens when poor little Mexican boys growing up don't have enough money to afford instruments, so they have to learn how to make all the noises with their mouth? Is that what's going on here?
Orchestra de la Raza.
Hola.
Órale, what's up?
We have, what are your names, gentlemen?
I am Mr. Ignacio Grande.
I'm Flavio en Fuego.
Okay, excellent. Now, here's how we're going to play. We're going to get you on the phone, and all of the answers are going to be Rage Against the Machine songs.
Okay.
So you've got that going for you. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to make all the sounds with their mouths, and it's only going to be the instrumental part. Sometimes it'll be the beginning of the song. Sometimes it'll be like a very recognizable solo part of the song. Not everyone's Zach singing or rapping, just the instrumental parts. And you just have to tell us what is the song title from Rage Against the Machine, and you'll go into a drawing to pick which day you want to go.
Okay. Again, they're all going to be Rage songs, but you don't have to pick Sunday if you don't want to. And we'll start with Michael in Corona. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. I'm sorry you had to sit through that intro, my friend.
On.
Good morning, Michael.
Morning.
Ignacio and Flavio, let's have our first song.
Let's do this.
That's plenty, guys. That's all right. That's fine. That's fine.
Any more?
Michael, put us out of our misery. Please tell us the name of that song they're doing by Rage Against the Machine.
Can I hear it again?
No!
Shut up! How dare you? How dare you? I hope you were joking.
Let me take a wild guess. People of the Sun.
Shut up!
I don't want him there.
That's it. It's Testify, dude. Testify.
And it sounded just like it, by the way. I want to say good morning to everyone whose alarm just went off during that, too, by the way.
All right. Let's go to Edgar and Bell. Good morning, Edgar.
Good morning.
Welcome to Orchestra de la Raza. Gentlemen.
Are you ready, Ignacio?
Ready.
Wow. I hope the band's not listening.
Maybe cancel Coachella. Maybe not worth getting back together after this.
Edgar, what's that song?
Well, guess, Bullet in the Head.
Shut up!
Oh, my God! That's People of the Sun.
That kind of sounds like it. Once you play the real song, I can see what they were doing there. So, nice try. So far, no one in the drawing. Let's try Matt and Fulch and see if he improves our luck. Hey, Matt, welcome to the show.
Okay. How many of the first two did you know?
Two.
All right. Here you go. Ignacio, Flavio, let's go.
Let's do this.
I believe that's plenty. Thank you, gentlemen. Matt, please tell us, what's the song?
Matt, where'd you go?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, what's the name of the song? We're playing a game here, dude.
You got a bullet in your head?
Yeah, you have a bullet in your head.
Oh, my God.
By the way,
I got the first two right, guys. I'm so smart.
I like that he called it You've Got a Bullet in Your Head, because that's right. The name of it. No, that's...
That's killing in the name, Matt, and a lot of Rage fans right now, full of rage, furious right now.
How do you guys think this is going so far?
Fantastic.
Yeah. It looks like I got two extra tickets.
It's not the boys' fault. They're doing fine. I say sudden death, by the way. I say at this point, looking at the clock, if you get it, you get it. How about that?
Whoever wins. You get to choose your day. Joey in La Mirada, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
How many of the first three did you know?
Two of them, actually.
Two. All right. Okay. Here you go.
The last guy lied to us, too, so good luck.
Wiki, hold on. All right, hold on, hold on. Joey, please say the right words. Please win the tickets. Please put us out of our misery.
Rage song.
God damn you.
Rage Against the Machine title.
I'm driving to La Mirada right now to beat you.
I hate everybody.
Joe!
Dude, guess a Rage song. I hate you.
Didn't even have an answer. Couldn't even guess. Yeah, that's freedom we were looking for, and it sounded just like it, so thanks.
Damn it.
All right, listen, Jason.
Oh!
Are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's sudden death. If you win, you get to pick Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, okay?
All right.
Here you go.
All right. Bobby McFerrin, that's enough. All right, hang on. Please, stop. Jason, help us.
Please tell me you know, Jason.
That was awful.
Yes, it was.
Shut up! You're awful!
It's a Rage Against the Machine song title. This may be a first.
Jason?
None of you deserve to go.
I'm going to kill you first.
I'm going to kill myself.
None of you deserve to go.
Name it, Jason. Don't be like the last guy and don't even guess. Try it, at least. He doesn't know a single song. What?
Bullet in your head.
Yes! Jason, that was lucky, but you still get the tickets. You can choose night number one, night number two, and night number three. What do you think?
Number three, please.
Number three, you got it. Nicely done. Even though it's not called Bullet in Your Head. Okay.
Yeah, close enough. Believe me, I wasn't going to split hairs at that point. Ignacio, Flavio, thank you for playing the game.
Thank you, guys.
6:39. Later this morning, we're talking to Harvey Levin as he continues to follow everything in showbiz, including this Alec Baldwin story. Now, Alec Baldwin is pretty much on the defensive right now. He, of course, is the movie star actor who's now the star of 30 Rock over there on NBC and has been in the press a lot this week because of a terrible phone message that he left on an answering machine of his 11-year-old daughter. And, basically he's swinging back. I mean, he's trying to turn the tables and say, look, you can say what you want about me, but what about the bitch that leaked the tape? What about that?
Yeah.
So we thought we'll find out more and talk to Mr. Baldwin ourselves here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Alec.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Well, we're fine. We're sorry. What an ugly week it's been for your whole family. This must be very, very difficult to go through.
It's been difficult at best, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, where are we now? You're trying to track down the leak? Is that what you're doing?
Well, I'm going through this custody battle, as you know.
Right.
And everything that happened in this custody battle is supposed to be sealed by the court.
Right.
Private. And apparently, some people don't choose to live by that court order.
And by some people... You mean...
Well, you don't want to really name any names. Kim Basinger.
But... Who could it be besides Kim Basinger?
Well, that's what we're trying to find out.
Oh, I see. So you think it might not be her?
Well, I can't say for sure.
Okay.
That's what attorneys are for.
I see.
Right. They'll look into it and they'll find out whether she leaked it, or whether this Harvey Levin character, he was the one who found it.
Well, what do you think? He, like, broke into the phone system and took it off?
I don't know what he's capable of.
Okay.
I heard he killed some guy.
No, you did not.
I don't think that's true at all.
It might have been a woman. I don't know.
Okay.
But there was murder.
No, there wasn't.
I don't think there was any murder. I don't think this helps you to start making wild accusations about people that you can't prove.
Well, I already hurt somebody. Maybe
he didn't hurt anyone.
Listen, I know about this guy.
You do?
He's dangerous.
Harvey Levin?
He used to be in the mafia.
He was never
in the
mafia.
No, he's not in the mafia.
What's wrong with you?
Listen, turn the attention away from Harvey for just a second. What about that night that you left the message? I guess it was last Wednesday night or something like that. You left the message. You were on the Letterman show and everything seemed great. You seemed like you were in a good mood. And then a couple hours later, you call and leave this horrible message on Ireland's answering machine. What was going on? Why were you so frustrated that you yelled at her, called her a pig, and everything else you did?
Well, listen, I'm really not at liberty to talk about this because of the court order.
Right.
But just let me say, this has been going on for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
Me trying to be in contact with my daughter mm-hmm. and my ex-wife trying to stop that.
Right.
So it's been difficult for me, frustrating for me. And I think maybe some of that frustration came out when I left that message for Ireland.
You think?
But what's even more frustrating was I heard you guys talking about this
Oh.
on your show.
Yeah.
And
what did Bean say?
Well, I heard you playing the tape. And also, I tried to call you.
Oh, you did?
I tried to call you while you were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys wouldn't pick up.
Right.
And that was frustrating for me.
Well, we wanted to play the tape so people...
And I wanted to set things straight while you were playing it.
Could hear it.
But you ignored my phone calls. I mean, I took time out of my schedule to call you two.
Right.
And once again, I've made an ass of myself trying to get to a phone.
Right.
Well, we...
You have insulted me for the last time,
But we
Kevin
didn't have any kind of deal set up where we would talk to you.
I don't give a damn if you're 50 or you're 60 or that Lisa May is a thoughtless pain in the ass who doesn't care about what you do. You've made me feel like crap for the last time, and it's time for me to straighten your asses out.
Alec,
we didn't know you were...
this crap on me, this goddamn phone situation that you would never dream of doing with Nicolas Cage.
That's true. We do have Nicolas Cage on the show very soon.
And you do it to me constantly and over again.
Yeah.
Well, you better be ready to meet me tomorrow, Wednesday the 25th.
I don't think...
I will straighten your ass out.
How are we going to meet?
You two are thoughtless little pigs.
Oh, Alec.
And I've had it. I'm fed up with you two.
We're not going to meet you, Alec. That's just not going to happen.
You were cowards, that's why.
We didn't even know you were calling.
Yeah, what line did you even call on?
I don't know. I talked to some Mexican. He wouldn't put me through.
Oh, yeah, it's King of Mexico. Yeah,
that's Dave.
That was definitely Dave.
Horrible.
That was
horrible.
Well, look. I hope this all works out with you and your family. You got to figure out a way to get this custody battle to end. It's been going on for 3 years. It must just be heartbreaking for your daughter.
I'm going to ask Harvey Levin to kill Kim Basinger.
Well, I
know he's killed before.
No, he hasn't
killed before.
A, he hasn't killed before. B, do you really?
He kills for money.
He doesn't. No, he doesn't.
He also sells crack.
No, not true at all.
Alec, do you think this is helping your case at all?
I don't know. I'm so drunk now, I couldn't tell you.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and the Clippers are in the playoffs, and next... Oh, wait. No, it's not the Clippers. I'm sorry. The Lakers are in the playoffs, and we're going to talk to James Worthy coming up in the 7 o'clock hour here on the world-famous
Are they
K-Rock.
Really, though? Are they really in the playoffs?
Yes,
yeah,
they are.
At this point,
they're
they
playing
are.
In the playoffs, but are they really in it?
Dude, they're only down one game. I mean, anything can happen.
How many games
point.
Have they played?
One. But
yeah. Well, just okay. one, but come on.
They played two tonight. You never know.
It's true.
A team could gel just like that.
It's true. After a season, they finally turned it around in the playoffs.
Anyway, that's next hour. Of course, more Coachella tickets. Also, funny man D.L. Hughley joins us later this morning on K-Rock. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat at 6:53.
Britney Spears continues her campaign to be Mother of the Year, according to In Touch magazine. She finally had some extended visitation with her sons, Jaden and Sean Preston. Last week, her ex-husband, Kevin Federline, left the boys for the weekend while he went to New York for... work, it says here.
Sure.
I have no idea what that could mean. Maybe he's running drugs from coast to coast.
It's not rapping.
Instead of staying home with him that weekend, though, Britney went to dance classes, took in some tanning salons, and went nightclubbing, leaving the kids behind with a nanny to watch them.
Right.
So it's very important for her to spend some quality time with the children.
Now, forgive me if I'm getting this mistaken, but early on, wasn't she the one who wanted the babies and Kevin kind of went along with it and she was like obsessed with having a baby, right?
As far as I know.
And Kevin was like, he left his wife when she was pregnant or whatever and left those kids. And we all thought, wow, Britney's going to have the kid. Kevin's going to be out of the picture. Now she could care less, it seems like.
I think Britney's confused between postpartum depression and child abandonment. I think she thinks they're the same thing, but they may
but
not
don't
be.
But don't you guys think a lot of young people look at kids as all fun and really are then just overwhelmed by how much work it is?
Yeah,
how much more difficult it is than they imagine it would be and how much time it is?
Of course.
Yeah, but you don't stop doing the work.
Right. When you're in it, it is rewarding enough that it's better than anything in your life, even though it's a lot of work. I can't imagine just leaving them at home and going nightclubbing.
And she has so many resources.
Well, I can, but most people can't.
At least some people can't imagine that. Your wife's at home to watch them.
I've heard other people say that.
Yeah, right.
Daddy, where are you?
I can't imagine leaving my kids going to Vegas for a weekend over and over.
I'm confused because I feel like I've been missing out on life.
Like what part of life?
Life, like things and things.
Yeah, well,
got that going.
Where's that?
Those things.
Now she's doing things.
Yep.
Got that going for
her. Not missing out anymore.
Girls Gone Wild mogul Joe Francis got sentenced yesterday to 35 days behind bars.
Oof.
His guilty plea to a criminal contempt charge, I think, helped the judge show a little leniency. He could have gotten 6 months in a federal prison. Instead, he just got 35. He's already served 14 days. So he's got to do a little more time in jail, and then he's got to fork over $5,000 in fees and penalties. But then he's out so that he can go on trial for tax evasion.
Oh, really?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, once he's done with this little legal entanglement, then he has to go into federal court for charges of tax evasion of more than $20 million in false tax write-offs from his corporate tax returns filed in 2002 and 2003.
Why did the convict have to be a black guy? Well, it is such a stereotype.
He's white.
He's a white guy. But you're saying now.
He's an annoying white guy. So I'm just hoping he makes some friends while he's in jail, because looks like he may go back sometime soon.
No wonder your behind is bleeding!
Yeah.
Oh.
Don't bend over to pick up the soap. Tonight on Dancing with the Stars, Joss Stone will perform.
Wow. Wow.
Might be worth watching.
On Dancing with the Stars?
You know, the women who dance, those partners on Dancing with the Stars, professional women dancers, are insanely hot.
They are.
This year especially. They got some 17-year-old girl who's won, like, the championship high school danceteria, whatever competition she was in.
It's a danceteria.
And she's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
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 So there's that.
That's so hot.
Then you got Joss Stone on top of it.
She's getting hotter, I think.
And I
agree. Isn't she only 20 now?
Yeah, I think she's just
20.
Jeez.
Yeah. Regis Philbin's going to be returning to work this Thursday as co-host of Live with Regis and Kelly.
Yes.
Bean is so excited.
Just six weeks after his triple bypass, he's getting back to work.
He probably wouldn't come back now, except Sweeps starts on Thursday. So that's TV gold right there.
And you know what's really going to help him, too, is that finally David Letterman is going to be a guest on that show.
No kidding. Yeah. Oh, that'll be funny.
Dave, no stranger to heart surgery himself, is scheduled to be Regis' first guest upon his return. Those guys are close friends, so I'm sure he's doing it to help his buddy out.
Sure.
But rarely does Letterman do any interviews, let alone be guest on someone else's show.
And he's always funny.
Always great. Yeah. But he's very sort of a private guy. Speaking of Letterman, last night he had Sanjaya Malakar, the rejected idol, on to do his top 10 list. This kid's doing everything. He was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yeah.
Guest of honor. He had some event recently where he showed up with Petra Nemkova on his arm.
Oh!
And now he's doing Letterman.
This is just the burnout, though, right? I mean, this is just a bright flame before he goes dark forever?
Well, I hope so.
I think so. I think that first week after you get booted off Idol, you get a lot of opportunities, and then it's time to face the real world.
Yeah, well, he was pretty entertaining last night at the top 10 list. Of course, Letterman and his staff wrote some funny things, but the list was the top 10 things I learned from American Idol. Here's a few highlights.
Number 8.
It's very important to keep it real, dog.
Yes, it is. And number 6.
On camera, Simon's a bit nasty, but off camera, he's a total jerk.
Well, there you go. You see? Number 4.
When you forget the words, just do this. Oh, yes, it did.
The number 1 thing I have learned from American Idol.
America loves performers with bad hair. Right, Dave?
What?
Hey, wait a minute.
Thank God for those writers,
okay, are we done with
love
him
me
now?
Some Dave.
I was done with him the very second he was voted off. I was done. I was only using him to try and bring down that franchise.
You were just using him, man. Yeah. You didn't care about him.
That's correct.
He's just a piece of meat to you.
That's right.
Today's Tuesday. Today's Tuesday. That means I can't talk. That means new DVDs are in stores today. Here is what you have to choose from. The Queen, available on DVD, finally.
I never saw that.
Helen Mirren gives her Oscar-winning performance as Queen Elizabeth II. Supposed to be real good.
I don't think Kevin would like it, because Kevin hates the Queen anyway.
But the Queen, I'm blue-blooded, I'm better than you.
But she humanizes the Queen, Kevin. You might get a new perspective on the royal family through
this
film.
Not Kevin.
You know what's
Kevin is done with new perspectives. Yeah, since he was a teenager. You know what's weird though, and I saw Last King of Scotland finally recently in the last few days, and the same guy wrote both movies. Both of them big, you know, Oscar winners and the whole thing. The same guy wrote both of those movies. Couldn't be more different. Those movies.
Wow,
what a talented dude that is.
Yeah.
Night at the Museum, also available on DVD, with Ben Stiller running around the museum and things happen.
It's a huge hit, wasn't it?
Huge, huge hit. Deja Vu, the Denzel Washington movie, is available today. The miniseries Planet Earth, currently playing over there on Discovery Channel. If you've seen any episodes of this, you know how fascinating this show is. 5 years in production.
You guys turned me on to that, and I've been watching it on Discovery. It is really amazing, and I don't watch shows like that ever.
No, I don't either.
It's remarkable television.
Really
cool.
Can,
if you've missed any of the episodes, here's your chance to pick up the box set with all the episodes intact. And also, one of my favorite shows from over there on the Adult Swim on Cartoon Network.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen Moral Oral?
Oh, yeah.
Which is sort of a spoof on the old Davy and Goliath claymation animated series where Moral Oral learns an important moral lesson and usually screws it up and makes it into something horrible. For instance, in the recycling episode, he's taught how important it is to recycle, so he decides to sell his own urine as a sports drink at his elementary school so he can recycle it. Yeah,
what could go wrong with that?
Very entertaining. The first season's available today on DVD. If you want to pick it up, I guarantee there's a lot of laughs in there as well, so check that out.
Ralph, let me jump in just because it is Tuesday. There are two CDs worth mentioning, too. The new Arctic Monkeys is long-awaited, coming out today, called Favorite Worst Nightmare. And, Kevin, I know you're excited. Your pal Tom Morello is back as the Night Watchman. This is the first full-length CD that he has. This is Tom Morello, of course, guitarist for Rage Against the Machine, doing a singer-songwriter thing with acoustic guitar and harmonica. That's out today, called One Man Revolution. I don't think we'll be seeing any of those songs at Coachella Sunday night, but it is a little different side of Tom.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Kelly Clarkson, the original American Idol, turns 25 years old today. Melinda Clark.
Ooh.
Julie Cooper from The O.C., she turns 38 today. Patty Schimmel, drummer for Hole, is 40. Cedric the Entertainer turns 43 years old today. And Barbara Streisand, music legend, is 65 years old today.
No. Gay?
Yes.
She's gearing up for her 17th farewell tour, I think, sometime next year. So
nose.
And catch her again. How dare you?
Nose. What?
Nose.
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 Isn't that too easy even for you, Kevin?
Oh, is there anything too easy for me?
That's true.
I don't have that category.
Kevin's got one of those Staples easy buttons up his ass. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Coachella Valley Board of Tourism presents another in an ongoing series, How to Survive the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. Chapter 14, Temperature. During the day, temperatures at Coachella can reach those similar to that of the surface of the sun. You'll be tempted to strip off all of your clothing, and even then, may consider finding a way to remove your skin. The very last thing you'll be thinking about is a jacket. However, once the sun goes down, evening temperatures can plummet to anywhere from freezing to the approximate temperature of liquid nitrogen. So bring a jacket or a sweatshirt, or your friends may find you later as a blue-lipped corpse in the parking lot. Enjoy the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival. And as we say here at the Board of Tourism, try not to die.
Right.
That's good advice,
I think. An important tip there, I think.
Sure.
Here's the thing about the Coachella Festival is it's this weekend, and you don't have your tickets yet. You feel like you're screwed, but you're not, because we're going to give you your choice of days of when you want to go, including the band we just played, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Saturday night, and that'll be coming up here very soon on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
Also added to Saturday night, Blue Lips Corpse, they're going to be playing. Okay. That would have been better had I been able to get it out.
Yeah,
That's tough to say.
Dave, the King of Mexico, in the studios.
Yeah, what up, dude?
Pay the man, first of all, and second of all, pay the man.
Yeah, about that.
What about that?
David and I have had a bet since the beginning of the basketball season. Mm-hmm. He's a big Clippers fan. He's more of a Laker hater than he is a Clipper fan. But we bet various things. We bet on the best record for the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's over. Lakers won that one. That's right. 50 credits. And then we had 20 credits on who goes the furthest in the playoffs, which the Lakers already have.
Also the Lakers, right?
Yes.
And then we had, I think the Lakers were in seventh place, and Dave actually bet me that the Clippers were going to pass the Lakers and take seventh place for them.
That wasn't the smartest move, but yes.
So 90 credits. Now, Dave was on vacation last week. He came back yesterday and didn't have the money with him, which goes against all betting rules.
Yeah, usually I'm good about that, but this time I had a little too much fun in Mexico.
Yeah.
And kind of spent everything I
owned. You are a rude, thoughtless little pig, okay?
I actually am.
That's not acceptable.
You know, there are some states in this country, New Jersey comes to mind, where you literally would have a broken bone right now for being this late on paying. You have to pay the first moment that you have the opportunity to pay. That's just the code.
I would deserve it, and I would take it. And I would still pay because I have to. You know, that's.
But you haven't paid. You didn't pay yesterday. I didn't see you hustling around yesterday trying to figure out a way to borrow money from somebody else or figure out a way to earn money to come in and pay Kevin today. He still doesn't have money. And you know how much the VIG is on that? You know how much that is added up? It's no longer 90, I'll tell you that.
It's like $4,000 now.
That's how it works. What was it, 2 points?
What's your plan, Dave? Because I don't see you sweating it. I see you going, oh, it's okay. Kevin doesn't really care.
When does the NBA start? Isn't it like September, October? Or something?
No, usually Halloween.
Halloween. Okay. So he's known since then that we had these bets, by the way. This is not a big surprise. He came back from his vacation. Oh, wait a minute. I owe 90 credits.
Season ended? I didn't know.
I actually knew halfway through my vacation and said, well, I'll just spend a little more because I'm so bummed now.
Oh, Dave. I see how that goes.
No, what are you going to do, Dave?
No, what am I going to do?
I don't know. So you gave Mexican strippers my money.
Yes. And I said, Kevin would, you know, buy me a lap dance. So here we go.
Ta-da. So you buy yourself one and then another one.
Okay, let me put it another way. So there seemed to be no embarrassment or shame when you came into work yesterday after vacation, knowing that you owed Kevin money. It didn't seem to bother you at all that you didn't have money. No,
I really do feel bad, but just nothing I could do right now. It's just
nothing showed. By the way, that you felt bad. I never heard from you. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have the money.
I heard I don't have the money, bitch.
Yeah. Right. So then, after yesterday, after we try to shame you and humiliate you into doing the right thing, you go home and you, I would imagine, think very hard all day long from the time you left yesterday to the time you arrived today. How can I get this money for Kevin to get him off my back?
And then you thought I could turn some tricks, right? That didn't work.
No, it didn't. Mm. Not enough buyers.
What did you think?
I was thinking, damn, how am I going to avoid Kevin all week?
I'm willing to let you work it off. I'll go that far.
All right.
I'm willing to let you work it off. Now, I don't necessarily have any jobs for you, but I'm guessing that our listeners probably, some of them need a handyman.
Oh, I'm sure.
Some of them just need a handy.
Maybe you got, a barn you want to painted, part of your house you need painted, a garage door you need painted. Maybe you need some cement poured. Maybe you need a dog neutered. I don't know. I don't know what you do.
And I'm good at doing all of that.
Kevin, look at him. How could you not think yard work first? Come on. Clearly.
Maybe get your lawn cut.
Yeah, this is that time of year, of course. A lot of people mowing their lawn. Why not? It'd be perfect for Dave.
I think here's what I'm going to do, Dave. I'm going to give you till Friday at close of business. At 10 a.m., actually. That's close of business for us.
All right.
And then I'm going to have to break both your legs. Ooh, I don't want to because I like you.
But it's Coachella this weekend. Can we wait till Monday to break the legs?
I'm saying it's not up to me now. It's up to the code. There's nothing I can do about it.
Here's what we need to do, Dave. I want you to be able to visualize this. Sometime in the next few days, I want you to rent the movie Misery, okay? And then I want you to see what happens to that poor guy laying in the bed when Kathy Bates comes in and breaks his ankles, okay? I want you to watch it and see exactly how it's done, because that's what we're doing as the last break of the show Friday morning at 10 till 10.
I've never seen that movie.
Maybe somebody needs
you need to see it.
A chauffeur. Oh, wait, no. But any number of things you could do. 1-800-520-1067. You could maybe raise the money before 10 a.m. Because I don't want to break your legs.
But I don't want my legs broken either.
But I'm bound by code and honor to do so.
Yeah, we got rage this weekend. There's no way I'm having broken legs. Man.
What's the sense of making a bet, by the way, if no money actually changes hands if somebody loses?
The money's coming, credits. Man.
All right. Doug in Fountain Valley, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Help out my friend Dave, because I don't want to break his...
I need some gardening done.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where do you live, Fountain Valley?
Fountain Valley. Is that too far?
Nothing's too far, dude. He's got it's either that or broken leg, so...
Yeah. What kind of gardening are we talking about? I mean, are we talking about weeding, planting what?
Some pruning on the plants and shrubs.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Pruning takes knowledge, though, doesn't it?
No, you just...
Just cut
snip,
it.
Snip, snip.
Excellent.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, Doug, hold on. We'll take down your information. Don't go away. Let's go to Ruben, who is calling from Buena Park. Good morning, Ruben.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How can you help my friend Dave?
I need Dave to come and cut my lawn, because us Mexicans, we're real good at that.
But you'd rather have someone else do it, right, Ruben?
Yeah, well, I like Dave. Dave, you know what? Come cut my lawn so we can help pay Kevin his money, man.
Okay, now how
good
much...
Good man, good man.
How, we didn't ask the last guy, but how much money is this job worth? I mean, what's he going to get paid?
I will give Dave $25.
$25 is not bad for cutting
the grass. That is not bad.
What do you got, 20 acres?
You have an average lawn?
No, I got a good-sized backyard and a good front yard, you know, he can cut.
Okay.
And that would include, I don't know what kind of lawnmower you got, but that would include raking up the,
Definitely.
Yeah, leaf blower.
My wife will get mad if he leaves any grass on the cut grass on the lawn.
Excellent.
All right, so it needs to be done to your satisfaction is what you're saying for 25. What do you usually pay a guy to do your lawn, Ruben?
I usually pay him, he does it twice a month for $50. A month.
Okay, so this is going right then.
Okay, that sounds very fair.
And by the way,
right,
Ruben,
hang on, Ruben.
Ruben, one of the other services that Dave provides is he can help your wife out.
Oh! Yeah,
know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm excited about.
Okay. You hold on.
Did somebody order Mexican?
We're going to take some more calls here in a minute. 1-800-520-1067. Where can Dave come to work off his debt to society? Because he really wants to see Rage, and it would be a shame.
I don't want broken legs, dude.
It'd be a shame to see him crawling around on the ground out there at Coachella trying to get to the stage.
And the thing is, he needs money for Rage, too. I mean, to go to Coachella, you need
some cash.
Oh, I'm
sure he's
got
plenty, by the way. He's probably got 100 on him right now. He's not going to give it up because it's Coachella. Former great James Worthy from the Lakers. Uh-huh. Coming up in about 10 minutes here on K-Rock. Talking about the playoffs.
I didn't know you had a man crush on him too, Psycho Mike. Really, James Worthy?
Automatic, right. Dude. L.A. Laker legend, automatic.
Anybody that's a Laker.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, here's the deal. Speaking of the Lakers, that is peripherally related to what we're talking about. Dave, King of Mexico, owes Kevin big money, allegedly. Not real cash, of course, because that would be illegal and wrong, and we wouldn't encourage that. But let's say that there's some money that ought to be changing hands. The season's over. His Clippers not in the playoffs. Kevin's Lakers in the playoffs, playing the night against Phoenix. There's no money changing hands, though. Where's the $90? That's what the question is, and that's why we're trying to find some work for Dave so that he can get that money together to give to Kevin by the end of the week.
Because I am bound by tradition and honor to break his knees if I don't get the money by 10 o'clock on Friday.
And well, it would be wrong not to, I think.
Coachella, the whole deal. You don't want to ruin the weekend. So.
Nice of you to even extend the deadline, you know.
You're welcome. I'm just that way.
I feel
Jeff in Temecula. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Jeff.
You got some work for Dave?
Yeah, I'm leaving for my honeymoon in about 2 weeks, so I'll be gone for a week. I need my dog walked. I need his poop cleaned up, and I need to be fed while I'm gone. So,
well, that would be a good job, only by, you know, Friday at 10, it's going to be too late.
Yeah.
I'll still have broken legs, yeah.
No, it's not too late.
Okay, it's not.
All right. We're telling you it is because you're going to be gone after Friday, but thank you for the call.
Hey, you say it's not, it's not. Who am I to argue?
No, I'm gonna get my two-week honeymoon in before Friday, Kevin.
All right, let's go to Francine, who is calling from Eagle Rock. Good morning, Francine.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Got some help for my man, Dave?
Yes, I do. My cat needs a flea dip.
Oof. Your cat needs a flea dip.
That's difficult.
Yes.
Okay. How do you do that exactly?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you have to buy the flea stuff, which would have to come out of his pocket, of course.
Wow. Well, how's he supposed to start by laying out money?
He doesn't have any money. That's the problem, Francine.
You're going to see if he took this job, you would end up breaking his legs. And that's not good.
Yeah, the cat is covered in fleas. They're all over his ears, and he's...
Oh, well, don't wait for Dave. Take him someplace and have that done today, Francine. That's terrible.
Or even better advice, Puppy Lake.
No.
Oh, how dare you.
Kitty Lake.
How dare you.
Thank you, Francine. That's not going to work. All right. Let's see. What can we do that'll work? All right,
what about Ben in Lakewood, by the way?
Yeah!
Although it scares me to see Dave with heavy machinery, but let's find out what Ben's got going on. You're on the Kevin Bean, Sean Carrick. What do you have for the king?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I got a old hot tub in the backyard that it's really big, and I need it to be sawed up into pieces with a chainsaw. It's all fiberglass.
You
oh,
wanna,
wow.
You
yeah,
saw a fiberglass hot tub with a chainsaw. What could go wrong there?
Is that because you need to crunch it to throw it away? Is that why?
Yeah, because it's too big. I can't get it out of there. I have to cut it up.
Okay. Dude, I'm in for breaking stuff.
What would that be as far as payment, Ben?
I'll give him $20.
$20, good.
Okay.
You know what? That's a little steep. He'll enjoy it. Maybe $15.
Hey. 20's fine.
Oh, 20's fine. Okay. All right. Hold on, Ben. We're going to take your info, okay?
Yeah, right. we'll take a bunch of calls off the air, too, and then we'll try to see what kind of schedule we can put together this week. And the goal, of course, would be to send Dave to enough jobs to make back the money plus interest so that he can pay by the end of the show.
End of the show, Friday, 10 a.m.
So I could walk at Coachella, you know?
It's important.
It is, kind of.
Because Coachella is a rather big area, and if you're crawling on your stumps, that's really going to be difficult.
Yeah.
I would not advise that. So we're going to take some more calls. We'll take your information. Tomorrow, we're going to put Dave to work. Or Dave's going to put himself to work.
Yes. I'm going to do it.
So that he can avoid that very ugly outcome.
Maybe what the answer is, we can talk to James Worthy about this, maybe is the Lakers petition the league to somehow have the games end after three quarters. Maybe that's the way to win. Maybe that's the answer. Just cut off that nasty fourth quarter. That's such a problem. All right, game two of the NBA playoffs, round one, Lakers versus Suns. It's tonight, of course, as usual, on KKL Channel 9. Pregame starts at 7, and the game starts at 7:30. James Worthy on the broadcast booth, back on the air on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, James, how are you?
How's everybody this morning?
Very good, thank you.
Well, we're doing great. Well, we got a lot of questions about the series against the Suns, but let's start with the big news from Channel 9. You guys are debuting something new tonight, I understand.
We are debuting in high definition, man. You're going to get to see the Lakers on KCAL Channel 9 in high definition. It is, I'm telling you, man, it's the best thing next to being to the game.
It's
clarity, precision. Check it out. It is, our pregame show is going to be awesome tonight.
It is ridiculous in that I'll watch stuff that I would never have watched otherwise, only, just because it's in high def and it looks so cool.
Yep.
You just watch it for a while, but that's very cool.
The truth is, if you...
You don't go for that stuff, but man, I tell you, when you see it, it makes a difference.
You know, I used to hear people talk about this, James, before I had a high-def TV, and you'd hear people say, oh, what a difference it makes. You can't believe it. And you go, yeah, whatever. How good can it be? And then once you watch a little bit of high-def, it really does seem like watching regular TV is like watching it on a 5-inch black and white. I mean, that's what the difference is like.
It's beautiful, man. I tell you, it puts you right in the stands. You know it does.
Well, congratulations on that. What's your recap? What was your analysis of what happened in Game 1 against Phoenix?
Well, you know, it's a typical scenario where, you know, Kobe's really got to trust his other players on the team, particularly Lamar Odom, who had 17 points and 16 rebounds, only 16 shots. Lamar is unstoppable in the post. And I think you have to deviate in the last 5 minutes because everyone knows how to play Kobe now in the last 7 minutes. Lamar is awesome inside. You also got to look at Luke Walton, who had 6 assists, 10 points, only 8 shots. I mean, these guys are healthy now. Kwame, a little bit disappointing. You know, he's very disappointing, not really. I mean, I know he's – you got to play with pain. Lamar's playing with pain. You know, LeBron James is going to play with his ankle. You got to just get over that. He needs to either decide to play or not suit up. But I think, you know, Kobe can't do it by himself. And I think he realized that last year, I think, when they were 3-1 against Phoenix. And but then he gets back into that same old, you know, I got to do it myself.
But you know what, James? I got to tell you, watching a lot of Laker games, you watch Kobe, and in certain games, he'll pass the ball, and then they'll miss. And then he'll pass the ball, and then they'll miss. Then he passes the ball, then they miss. And then he goes, and then I go as a fan, just shoot it. What the hell? Well, what good is it?
You can't, you know, you're going to miss shots, but you can't go 1-for-10 in the fourth quarter. When you got other guys like Lamar, every time Lamar gets it, plus we're not getting to the foul line. We only get to the foul line, I think, in that game 11 times. You're not going to get it by shooting jumpers. Lamar is the guy. Kwame last year kind of dominated Phoenix inside, but hadn't decided to show up yet. But I think either Kobe has to recognize it or Phil has to recognize it. Now, when he took Kobe out of the game in the fourth quarter, they went directly to Lamar. They got it back to like 3 or 4 points. But you can't go 1-of-10 against great teams in a 7-game series.
Yeah, I hear you. That's rough. Now, the Lakers realistically have much of a chance to beat the Suns in a 7-game series?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I don't believe in moral victories, but I think, you know, if they're looking for anything, they had that game. You know, you're not going to hold Phoenix to 42% shooting.
Right.
26% from the three-point line. And they only shot 70% from the free throw line. So this team holds about 5 categories, you know, in the number one spot. Number field goal percentage, free throw, three-point. So I doubt you're going to get that kind of performance from Phoenix again. But, you know, this is a team that's done well against Phoenix before, so they have that incentive.
We are talking to James Worthy, of course, Laker great, in the broadcast booth for Game 2, Phoenix versus Los Angeles tonight on KCAL Channel 9, now in high definition. You know, the team kind of limped into the playoffs, shall I say kindly, did not play well down the stretch. When you're in the locker room, when you're talking to these guys now, are they fired up and optimistic and feel like they can win, or are they kind of just going through the motions a little bit, feeling like they believe the press that they're not capable of advancing past the first round?
It's been a roller coaster for them. You remember, this is a team that was healthy. At the beginning of the year, they were 26-13. Then the injuries. It's hard to keep morale up when Lamar goes down. Then you get him back. Then Kwame goes down. You get Kwame back. Then Luke Walton goes down. All right. Vital players. But I do think lately they gained some confidence. I think that, you know, 2 in a row was big confidence for them. And getting that nucleus back, Lamar, Walton, Kobe. You know, I think Farmar is a good change up to kind of relieve Smush Parker a little bit.
Sure.
But, you know, I think they think they can win. They know they have in the past. They've mm-hmm. beat the best teams and lost to the worst team. So, you know, there's something there.
Is there any chance that you could come off the sidelines and play tonight?
Dude, I could foul. I got 6 fouls. Somebody would be hurting.
That's true.
Somebody to pay for my flagrant files, I'd be out there in a minute.
James, a lot of times in a playoff situation, you hear about bulletin board material, and I was just wondering if you know if the team is aware or if they are talking about this book that they've been excerpting in the LA Times, this book called 7 Seconds Left, all about the Phoenix Suns, where they really do trash talk Los Angeles in the whole book. Is there much talk about that?
Really? I haven't heard it yet. You know, I'm not, you know, as a player, you know, we never had that happen to us, but I don't know what it is now. It used to be, you know, Lakers had the respect, but now teams look at us and they, you know, they target us. And so I don't know, man. I'm getting the books.
Dude, I got to tell you, though, I mean, it really is a frustrating thing to watch the Lakers when you don't know who's going to show up. You know Kobe will, but yeah. You don't know. I mean, sometimes, I don't know, it's so frustrating to watch the other guys just kind of go through the motions.
Well, you know, Kobe had 33 shots and one assist. Now, you know when he's knocking them down, shooting 80, that's entertainment. That's great entertainment. We love to watch that. Nothing you can say, really, when he's knocking them down.
Right.
But when you go 1 for 10, you got to recognize somewhere like at 1 of 5 or 1 of 4 that, hey, there's Lamar. You know, everybody else did it. Michael Jordan did it.
Yeah.
There's Pippen. There's Horace Grant. Bird did it. There's McHale. There's Dennis Johnson. Magic did it. There's Byron Scott. There's Worthy. There's Kareem. You know, you can't. You know, you just can't. I mean, great players are great when they're taking over games, but when you're not knocking them down, you got to encourage. You have to empower other players. And I think that's the last thing that's missing in Kobe's totality as, you know, one of the greatest players.
Right. Do you think that that's a conversation the coach has with Kobe, or do you think at this point Kobe knows it and it's just up to him to make the decision to do it out on the court? I mean, do you think there was a powwow after that game one?
I'm sure Phil's had it before. Last year, you know, Phil said we need Kobe to pass the ball, and he did. So he knows it's an aspect of his game that he has. The question is, it's like, you know, it's like a golf swing. You know, you're smooth on the way back, but coming down, you just, boom, you just go through it. And Kobe just doesn't know when they, you know, go down an extra click and look for other players. He still has the ability to take over.
Let me ask you one last question, Mr. Worthy, and that is high definition has killed a lot of pretty people on TV. They just can't hold up. They just can't hold up to these new cameras. Are you good looking enough to pull off HD tonight on KKL Channel 9, or are we going to be seeing the last of James Worthy?
You know, there's an old saying that, you know, good people look good on television. And the rest people go to radio.
Oh!
Lisa,
all right.
Not including Lisa.
Thank you, James.
Well done. Well done.
You know what I'm saying.
Touche, my friend. All right. Pregame at 7 on KCAL Channel 9 in HD for the first time ever. Don't miss it. Also, the game at 7:30. It goes without saying it's practically a must-win for tonight with the Lakers. James, always great to have you on K-Rock. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Bye now. You know, Alec Baldwin is talking about trying to find the leak. Where did that tape come from? Who put that tape up online? One of the people he's asking is Harvey Levin, who we're going to talk to in the next hour.
Known criminal. Ooh, Harvey Levin.
He's not a known criminal.
He's not. He doesn't kill that dude.
No doubt. No.
Also, comedian D.L. Hewley on his way into the Kevin and Bean show at K-Rock, and we'll have him after the news. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat at 7:57.
Paris Hilton keeps ticking people off, and it keeps costing her. Apparently an angry acquaintance of Paris has posted her private phone number up on MySpace. The story doesn't say who it is, though, so I can't find it on MySpace to give it a call. But
that's hot.
Reportedly, Paris is furious and is now looking into changing her number as quickly as possible because she's getting all kinds of phone calls from all kinds of strangers.
I'll bet. Sure.
And that number really is supposed to be restricted only to the most exclusive nightclubs. Men's rooms walls, really. That's where it belongs. Not out there in the public. Rachel Bilson has a new boyfriend, if you believe Puerto Rican newspaper El Nuevo Dia.
I don't.
She's dating Ricky Martin.
What?
Apparently the two ran into each other at a Miami nightclub and hit it off and were spotted spending the weekend together, including several romantic dinners. Ricky is 11 years her senior. However, they do share the same taste in clothes and men, so the relationship really could be
on a solid foundation.
It's long lasting.
I'm just saying.
Speaking of Alec Baldwin, his tirade against his daughter Ireland reportedly has spurred Kim Basinger to hire a personal bodyguard for her 12-year-old daughter Ireland. 24-hour security. A large, burly bodyguard was seen surrounding the couple as they were making their way through shopping this weekend, and now Kim reportedly thinks it's important that she has a 24-hour bodyguard.
That girl doesn't have a chance with those parents.
No.
And Basinger is the only person who could make it possible to feel sympathy for Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is the bodyguard to prevent the kid from being kidnapped by her father? Is that what this is about?
I guess. That's what they're sort of insinuating in this article. Which is just not going to happen. I mean, it's just not going to happen. First of all, the guy's in New York. He's 3,000 miles away. While she was being protected by this bodyguard, they showed photos of him coming out of a deli in the Hamptons. I mean, there's 3,000 miles worth of security already between the two of them. She doesn't really need a 24-hour bodyguard.
Plus, he's pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
Being a big celebrity.
Pretty recognizable. And unless he hires Dave to kidnap her for 90 bucks.
Come with me. I'm making $90. Bean's arch enemies are at it again.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, what's this?
The people in charge of Turn Off TV Week are in Washington, D.C. Turn Your TV Off Week started yesterday, by the way. It goes through the 29th of this month. The group says that last year about 5 million people participated. Bean, the group would like to promote reading and being active, getting out of your house as opposed to sitting there and watching television.
What is wrong with them? By the way, you don't pick the week of sweeps when the new shows are all coming back, when it's all new all week. You don't pick that week to get people to walk away from their television. Pick the rerun season.
Pick a crappy week.
Starting next year, the TV Turnoff group says they would like to also include the internet.
Oh, my God.
Good luck with that.
We need to get them on the show and have Bean talk some sense into them. See, they are his mortal enemies.
Yeah. They stand for everything that Bean stands against.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you
especially
that I walked
being
out.
Active and getting out of the house, by the way.
I walked out into the yard yesterday. Donna was out there with Tater Tot. And I walked out into the yard to tell her something. And she stopped and she said, "Oh my God, you're standing outside." She was so shocked to see me actually on the grass. I said, "Yeah, I got to get back in."
But, clutch your chest as you tried to make your way across the yard.
That isn't good for you.
Your knees shake.
I was standing on grass and there was that warm ball in the sky that was making heat on my face. I hated it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Today is Tuesday. That means new DVDs are in stores today. Here's what's available to you. The Queen, starring Helen Mirren. She won many awards for her performance as Queen Elizabeth II. It's available today. Night at the Museum. The Ben Stiller smash comedy is available also. I might actually pick that up. It looks pretty funny.
I didn't see it either when it was in theaters.
I didn't, but I think I would like to see it, so I might check that out. Deja Vu, the Denzel Washington film, is also available today.
Did you mention that last hour?
Planet Earth, the very popular TV series from the Discovery Channel, which is just amazing television. If you haven't seen it, you can pick up the box set. Codename The Cleaner, starring Cedric the Entertainer, is also available.
I'm sorry. Worst name for a movie ever.
If you need a new coaster,
Codename
The Cleaner. Because he's a spy, but things go hilariously wrong for him. And speaking of hilarious, one of my favorite TV shows from the Adult Swim portion of the Cartoon Network, Moral Oral, first season, available in a box set today. If you've never seen the show, it's truly spectacular. It's a takeoff on the old Davy and Goliath claymation series, which was, I think, produced by the Lutherans, who wanted to teach kids important moral lessons on Sunday mornings.
Right.
And the same theme holds true with Moral Oral. His parents and his teachers try to teach him important moral lessons, and he invariably takes it the wrong way and does hideous things based on those moral lessons. Here's a little clip from the show in case you've never seen it. This is where Moral Oral's principal is trying to, in the best way he can, educate Moral Oral about masturbation.
It's evil, son.
It is?
Worse than murder.
Principal Fakey is right, Oral. Regular murder is bad enough, but in one disgusting act, you murdered millions of potential people.
I didn't know.
Haven't you heard the handy rhyme? Number one, gold like God made the sun. Number two, good Lord help me go poo. Number three, the devil sets my sperm free.
No, I never heard the Protestant version, Reverend.
Well, it's been bastardized over the years.
By who?
Bastards, Oral. Fatherless bastards.
See? It's a very important moral lesson there learned by
lesson.
Oral.
Worse than murder.
Worse than murder. Today's celebrity birthday is Barbara Streisand, 65 years old today. Shirley MacLaine, that batty old actress who thinks she's lived many lives.
When did she die? I forget.
She's still alive.
Oh.
73 years old today. Cedric the Entertainer, speaking of the cleaner, himself is 43. Patty Schimmel, drummer for Hole, is 40 years old today. Melinda Clark, Julie Cooper from The O.C., she's 38. And Kelly Clarkson, the original American Idol, turns 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's kind of a sad day because I've been such a big fan of D.L. Hughley's for so long. I've enjoyed him so much on the TV and when I've seen him, and he seems like a funny guy, nice guy. Now we find out he hates his own people. Now we find out that he hates the South Bay. Doesn't like it. Doesn't want to go there. It's kind of ugly, really, when you turn your back on your own roots, D.L. What's up with that?
Where did you? You said you grew up in the South Bay.
Yeah, I don't even know how. Man, I feel you. This is a government interrogation. Yes. How did that come
answer
out
the question?
All wrong?
It's a CIA black ops.
How did that come out all wrong? Yeah. I've never performed in the South Bay, but I actually went to school there. I went to school a lot of places. You know, I was doing the tour of the LAUSD, but
sure. Where they just keep sending you from school to school.
We can't help them. You try it.
Try San Pedro. try luck. But yeah, I'm really excited. So, you know, it was funny because when I was growing up, when you was black, you never drove through Torrance. You know, that you had to go. Oh, man.
Did they pull you over?
They pulled you over.
Right away.
Driving to Hermosa Beach this weekend, I'm going to drive around Torrance.
You can be in the back seat laying down and someone else drive you.
It's the South Carolina of the South Bay.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
This is a big thrill then because DL is going to be doing stand up for the first time ever at the Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club. That's going to be starting tomorrow night. So Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can go to comedyandmagicclub.com. You play in Southern California a lot. I haven't played in Hermosa.
Such a great club, too.
I haven't been there, but I talk to Jay Leno. Yeah. I guess he works out there all the time. I've never been there. I'm excited, though.
That's cool.
It's always exciting. So much to talk about.
Growing up down there, did you always want to be in showbiz, or did you have other dreams and you lucked into this?
I think when I was growing up, nobody had dreams. Every brother I knew had a dream end up getting killed, so you didn't want to dream. I kind of always knew that I had to do something different. I mean, because I wasn't an athlete and I wasn't smart. And the only way you're going to get girls is one of those two ways. So I decided to make them laugh.
Girls are a great motivation for you guys.
Oh, they really are.
If there weren't girls, we would all just
live in caves. What do I need deodorant in the house for?
I see in your bio that you used to be in a gang, but when you got out of the gang, you got a job as a telemarketer for the Los Angeles Times?
And actually, I got cussed out by Jay Leno. He actually cussed me out.
What are you talking about? You called him randomly?
It was for the LA Times, and I called him. And
hey, I don't blame him. I hate you people.
Yeah, me too.
I do too.
Hey, be careful.
They call
Al Sharpton to be down here in a minute.
No, by you people, I mean the Los Angeles Times.
Isn't it funny how you have to explain everything you mean nowadays?
It is, yeah. It's not funny, really. No,
it is. Because to me, like, free speech is kind of a zero-sum proposition. Either you believe in it or you don't.
Right.
They can't be a Ludacris without Don Imus. That's
right.
The
exactly.
But it scares us being in radio that Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson get taken that seriously.
Right. Well, I don't think they do.
Why else did that happen?
I think that happened because corporate America are weasels and they were
because
cowards.
Because corporate America got pressure put on them by Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson.
But they don't have to respond. Let me tell you something.
I agree they don't have to respond. And I wish they didn't.
I'm never going to be in a position. Now, first off, I'm never going to be in a position where Al Sharpton is not my leader. Let me just say that right
so
now.
So glad to hear that.
But he was on TV more than the girls of Rutgers. I was like, man, at one point I was like, who is the chubby chick with the perm? And, you know, let's be realistic. There was some ugly women, damn it. When you can braid hair and palm a basketball, you not.
It must be nice to be able to say that.
You know what? You know what's funny? You know what's funny?
I thought they were beautiful.
Poor white man. Poor you. Let's switch. I'll rule the world, and you get to say the N-word and ho.
I wish I ruled the world.
We're throwing police brutality and sickle cells just to be nice. I think that people take stuff way too seriously. I think that, you know, to me, like I said earlier, freedom of speech is a zero-sum proposition. I think that I can respect, I don't have to like what somebody says.
Right.
I think that it is ridiculous to take off a show that we didn't listen to anyway. And I'm glad we got Don Imus. All the problems in the black community are all solved. So we finally got the one white man that was holding us back.
Now you see the finish line.
Oh, man, it's all over now. And I don't even know how he called anybody funny looking. He looked like a werewolf that didn't finish changing, don't he?
He really does. He really does.
But I still, you know, I was one of the guys that I watched the show a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually watched the show and listened to it. I'm his constituent. But I watched him talk about everybody. I watched also him support Harold Ford. I watched him berate the government for his treatment of the Katrina victim. So, I had a you know, I watched him take, you know, black cancer victims to New Mexico on a ranch. Yeah, because right. That's what a sick black kid want to do is milk a cow. Yeah, that's great.
New Mexico, that's tops on the list.
I got cancer. Milk the cow, you ungrateful ass.
That's a dream come true.
Yeah, let me ask you this. If you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning watching a radio show on MSNBC, don't you have a remote control that you can use on your television?
Man, you know what? Isn't that the ultimate boycott?
The
remote control. Yeah, I mean, you know, I hate that. I think that people are, you know, I was doing an act one day and I called this Asian guy Oriental.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm not Oriental.
That's a no-no.
How do I know, man?
That's a no-no,
all I
dude.
Know is y'all all run from Godzilla the same way. What the hell do I know? I don't know.
You can send those emails to DLU,
no, man. I'm not, hey, man. You know, and we got to stop it, man. I think that we have become a country where everybody thinks one thing. And says, like, you know, now we want to abolish the N-word. And Jesse Jackson said we should have racial peace. Sure. And if we abolish the N-word, Jesse wouldn't have a job. And
that's true.
How would the police be able to tell me to get out of the car? That got to be confusing. I got to go through Torrance this week.
That's what you get at the Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club tomorrow night through Friday night. Our guest is D.L. Hughley. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more after this on K-Rock.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is the Kevin and Bean Show at 826.
I'm here to say that D.L. Hughley, ladies and gentlemen, should be the next president of the United States. Yeah, I've spent a few minutes with this young man, and I'm telling you, he's the kind of guy I want leading this country. D.L., what do you think?
I'm articulate. Oh, you can't say that either.
Can't say that either, right?
That's got to be confusing. You can't call him the N-word, can't call articulate. What can we call you people that'll make you happy?
Can't call you clean.
Can't call you clean. Oh, can't call you clean. That's out.
Yeah. Can't say you people either, by the way.
No DL way. Is here because he's got stand-up at the Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club Wednesday through Friday night of this week. From what we've heard, I guarantee you don't want to miss it, comedyandmagicclub.com. He is a frequent guest on the Bill Maher HBO show. He's always great on that. And I can't let you go without asking about Studio 60 because people are already emailing saying, ooh, DL's on What's the Deal with My Favorite Show. Where's that?
We just wrapped the show last night. We shot the last show for the season. I don't know if it's going to be picked up or not.
How many have you shot that you have not aired yet?
Seven.
Seven more. So okay, so it's been a while.
They'll
air in June. Okay. Yeah. Oh, so it's going to air this summer.
Yeah.
So did they give you a raw deal on that deal? What do you think?
No, I think, you know what, here's the deal. We were given, you couldn't have been a more high-profile show than we were.
Right.
Yeah, there was a lot of promotion. You couldn't have been,
and I think, you know, I think that comedy is very, I think we were too highbrow. I really do. I think we were played above people's head too much. I mean, it's like, comedy is not pretty and beautiful shots, and but like when you watch any great sketch show, the wigs are bad, and they laugh while they're doing sketches, and they don't take it so serious, and it's not important. I mean, this is not the West Wing, or you know, it's comedy, and everybody feels like they know something about it. So I thought that was it, but I was very proud of the stuff that we did, and I learned so much. So
there's another show like that, Arrested Development, which I thought was brilliant, and just never got a following.
But see, you when you.
So smart.
Well, that's what it is. Most people ain't smart. Nobody wants to think at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Who wants? I mean, like, we come from a society.
And it's an hour-long show.
You will walk past your TV to look for your remote.
That's true.
This is what I mean.
That's true.
You will literally, where the hell is my remote? I can't. Baby, you see my remote, and you'll walk right past. You will vacuum and pick something up and put it back down, see if the vacuum cleaner will be everybody. And so this is the world we come from at 10 o'clock. No, but we got instant cameras. We don't want to do nothing. We don't want to think. So.
Yeah.
So I think that you can't, you really, it's like aspirin and orange juice.
You could do it with maybe a more serious show, but when you
talk
are
about
in the comedy category,
it's
a whole different group of people really tuning tough. In. Yeah.
What kind of show do you want to do? I always got the impression.
I want to do late night TV.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's what. And you were great when you auditioned for that, for the show that Mr. Ferguson ended up getting. He's good, too. He wasn't a bad choice.
But... He's an ass. He's not
really?
No, I'm just playing. I'm jealous.
Like Craig.
What can you say? No, he's a nice guy. I don't, you know, I think that. Here's the thing. We could have a black president before we have a black talk show host. You know, I mean, I think that that's the... They, for some reason, people think you got to be white and you got to be from Wisconsin.
Well, wasn't Arsenio popular for a long time?
Yeah, but I think that that was an anomaly. I think that
was.
He was... You know, to me, every time I've ever seen somebody try to do it, it's always like... For some reason, people don't think we have a scope of the world. Like, to me, I get up and I watch the newspaper, I watch the news, I see... the world, and I try to talk about the world from my perspective, and I think that that's no different than than anybody else's.
Yeah. Than what Dave or Jay or Jimmy are doing, right?
Right, right. And I think they're all talented guys, but they're all really, you know, when you come from the same pools of experiences, chances are they're going to have the same experiences.
Right.
They're going to have the same things to talk about. So I really, late night is where, that's why I think I love being on Bill Maher's show, because it feels like I have an opportunity to do it that way. But I love being on stage. I do. So whatever gets me there. Is really
so Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, they have 7 more episodes. They're going to play them in June, and they might still pick it up or no. I mean,
you better get the DVD, baby.
Are you feeling?
No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. I wish I was, but I'm not. I'm not under contract anymore. I can tell the truth. Okay. No, I think it. I hope it does, but we'll see.
But you don't think so.
Yeah. Now, is it bad to tell people that you're going to be filming an HBO show this week?
I'm not filming it this
you're
week,
not,
but
oh,
I am
I
writing.
You were.
No, oh, I'm see. Writing. You know, the stuff that I'm writing now is it's like. It's for the HBO special,
okay.
and I'm calling it. Maybe it's just me because I was in New York and I read the Statue of Liberty, you know,
right.
that give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. Isn't that a call to aliens? I mean, immigrants. Isn't that down? Right, that's a call to immigrants, right?
Yeah,
as
that's
we
what
build
it is.
Up
yeah.
a wall.
Right, if you didn't mean it, you should have put a PS and say, except for Mexicans. You should say that. She's holding a ladder, not a leaf blower. I don't understand. If you're building a wall, these people grow our food, watch our children, and build our houses. If you're going to build a wall, at least put their names on it, tell them it's a monument or something. Hey, Lupe, this is for you. When you consider that Texas, Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico, and California all was Mexico, and they're crossing the border. No, we moved it. I used to live here. But I think that when I watch what happens here and I watch what people do, like everybody was incensed that Michael Richards would say the N-word.
Right.
Now,
right.
You ever notice that the audience, did you watch that tape?
Yeah.
Audience wait till 8 N-words in before they decided, wait a minute, I'm offended. You know,
the first one was like, hey, wait, and then no one said anything.
Maybe they
right?
thought he was trying to be funny.
You know, and that's everybody's. That word is older than baseball, hot dogs, or apple pie. It's more American than even. So I refuse to let words or what people think of me or, you know, you can't call a woman. Like, I know hoes. I do. I'm sorry.
You pay for them.
Are you kidding
they
me?
Do good
Not
work.
A lot, though.
tell the story you told us out there about you and getting in a fight when you were a kid.
I went to Gardena High, and we were hanging out. And this white cat said the N-word.
Right.
So I hit him, and I got in trouble, and I came home. My mother said, what happened? I said, this white boy said the N-word, and I punched him in his mouth. And she said, seemed to me we shouldn't have had a problem. I said, why? She said, if he said the N-word and you ain't one, then he wasn't talking to you. And if he said the N-word and you are, then he was telling the truth, and you shouldn't have got mad. Don't you? She said, they talked about Jesus. Why wouldn't they talk about you? I don't understand how you can give somebody that much power. Like I said, I know black men and I know N-words. I do.
Right.
And they all got their places. If I'm walking down the alley and a fight get ready to break out, I want the N-word with me. And I'm talking about a big nappy head N-word dude.
That's right.
All he needs is a place fist. For yeah. Right, you kidding me?
That's not when you need Steve Harvey right, to come you know, to your defense, right?
Oh, damn. You know, that's you don't need. And I think that we, like, and I know hoes. Look here, let me tell you. If you 5 people claim to be your baby daddy, you ain't Mother Teresa. You're old. This girl had more nuts in her than the Snicker bar. I don't. Come on, now. Let's be what we are.
I wish more people had your sense of humor, I'll tell you.
I'm telling you, we're drafting him to be the next president of these United States. That's
black
all
dude getting drafted. That never happened. You know, even when I look at Barack Obama, it isn't his color, because you could say he was Sicilian. You could get by with that.
Right.
It's the name. We listen
sure.
to Bill, Jeff, George.
You know what I mean? Barack, right.
Barack Obama. That don't sound like a president. That sound like owner of a 7-Eleven. Are you kidding me? I can't say his name without wanting a Slurpee. That's what I got.
What do you, realistically, I mean, obviously he doesn't have a great deal of experience, but for some people, they like that. They don't want somebody who's been in government. What do you think of this guy? You think he's got a chance?
I think, no, because I've been around America and I know how. I think that in the red states, that there is really a divide line. But I do think that they respond to his idealism, and I do think that they respond to his charisma. And let's face it, after this administration, this is the most, this is the most inept administration in history. So I know rappers that ain't been subpoenaed this many times. Snoop can't hang around nobody in the administration because they violate late parole. How bad could we be? We'd have to get some complaints to turn down the music at the White House. Somebody might get shot at an award show, but...
Do you think they'd have more trouble electing a black man or a woman, though?
Well, I think to me, there are more women. I think that there are a lot of different disenfranchised women. I think that, that the country, to me, is... doesn't seem to feel good about itself. I mean, it just doesn't. It just it doesn't embrace. Like to me, I used to like McCain when I thought he was a straight talking dude. Now
there
he's
was
like
a time
a
I did
73 year old. I mean, let's face it. When you're 73, you just two jobs you should have. One is a greeter at Walmart. You don't want a 73. You're 73. You should be taking a nap. Are you kidding me? You shouldn't be president or messing up traffic in Florida. That's it.
That's a little younger like Bill Clinton is who you would go for.
I think that. It isn't so much the youth, but it's the idea. I mean, right. I think that we need people that have a different kind of idea.
New ideas.
I don't understand what it is that people don't understand. This. I was reading a book called The Green Zone, and it talked about, you know, our initial invasion of Iraq. Mm-hmm. And it's really an interesting book, and it talks about how that there were people who made decisions on who should serve in these high posts based on what if somebody believed in abortion or not, or if somebody was a, you know, right winger or not. And
really?
So it was just, and you got to read it. It's just... everybody's politicized everything to the point that you don't even care who you send to be your ambassador to. I mean, they're cooking pork. They're having Iraqi people cook pork in the mess halls. And that's horribly offensive to them. Like the wall that we're building, but we don't understand how offensive that is to them. We have no concept of who they are and what they believe. And so I think that, you know, we need somebody who has a different kind of perspective. I don't know.
That's why when you're running things, DL, right. Things are going to be cleaned up. That's what I'm saying.
DL for president.
DL
for president.
Absolutely. Exactly.
I'll be the president.
I'm going to write you in, my friend.
Absolutely.
Listen, comedyandmagicclub.com is the website address. Called 310-372-1193. Sounds like it's going to be some fun stand-up out there in Hermosa Beach for the first time ever appearing live on stage. Absolutely. In the South Bay, Wednesday through Friday night. D.L. Hughley, you are always welcome on the Kevin Beach Show, man.
Back.
I hope you come back and see us.
Indeed.
We appreciate it.
Will you come see us when you're president?
I promise.
Okay, excellent. We got more tickets you can win to go pick your day of Coachella for the festival this weekend. And, of course, details coming soon this week on when K-Rock is going to be there and broadcasting live and all that good stuff. How great was D.L. Hughley, by the way?
Yeah.
Is that guy the best?
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Love it.
I really, I think I'm with you. I'm going to write him in on some upcoming election. I don't even know what. Got to get that dude elected to something. All right. It's 8:45. It's Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's check in with our pal Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com, world's greatest entertainment website. Harvey, you all packed, ready to go when you get sent to jail?
Well, I mean, I'm not to be too defensive, but just for the record, I am not in the mafia, and I didn't murder anyone.
Wait a minute. You didn't?
Yeah, we may have had an interview this morning that may have suggested that Harvey was even more evil than he is. What a terrible thing you're doing trying to break up the beautiful Alec Baldwin family, Harvey. What's up with you?
All I can tell you is that I am told that Ireland had a really good day on Friday when this tape came out.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
oh,
Alec is
interesting.
Alec's very angry that it came out because he said it was under court order. That's true?
Well, look, I'm not going to say how we got this tape. I'm just not. And we could have gotten it in a variety of ways. You know, it is coming out today that this tape was never sealed by the court. But, again, I don't want to get into it. I will just say we got it perfectly legally. And, you know, the mischievous Harvey, actually, when they filed those legal papers, I almost put my picture up with a fake mugshot, but I didn't do it.
So, in other words, you know you've got the law on your side. You're not the least bit worried, even though Alec Baldwin is making it sound like whoever leaked this thing could be in some potential real trouble. You don't think there's anything to it?
Nope.
Okay.
So you're not going to the Crossbar Hotel anytime soon?
I don't think so.
You know, it's funny because we were talking about this, and through all the jokes, we did mention that you're a lawyer, and you are pretty much never wrong and always cautious about...
And covers himself, sure.
Well, look, I mean...
How you do stuff.
To be serious, I mean, we really thought about this, and there were two issues. One, I just wanted to make sure that everything was on the up and up, and it was. And then secondly, I really did care about Ireland, and I didn't want to hurt her. And there were ways I checked this out. You know, without revealing anything, I'm guessing that he will be slow in leaving another message like that.
Well, no kidding.
I suspect you're right.
I hope so.
But that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Harvey, let me ask you this. What kind of instructions has the judge given in this case? And who would have ever thought in 2007 we'd all be interested in Alec and Kim all over again? But it is one of the most contentious divorces and custody hearings in history. Does he say to them, you're not allowed to badmouth each other in public? Because they sure seem to always be sniping at each other out loud in every opportunity they can.
They hate each other. They just, yeah. I mean, I have never seen a more bitter. I mean, they're not really divorced. I mean, they got a piece of paper that says they're divorced. But emotionally, it has just been going. Here's how bad it got. And you know, I don't know if we talked about this last week, but, you know, Ireland had to see a psychologist, and this has been made public already. It got so contentious, Alex felt that the psychologist favored Kim, so was moving in court to change the psychologist. Like, nothing was easy. Nothing.
Oh, my God. But on TMZ.com this morning, or last night, whenever I saw it, didn't Kim Basinger again come out and call him unstable and irrational, a bunch of other... I mean, it's still slinging mud, even today, right?
Yeah, I mean, they just really detest each other. And, you know, she says his temper has terrorized her family. And he says that she has tried to deny him the right to parent Ireland.
Right.
So they both got a point of view on this, and they cannot see eye to eye on anything, to the point where the judge, you know, in a lot of these cases, like when people get divorced, you know, it's kind of like work it out between the two of you, you know, figure out how you want to do custody and holidays and stuff. Every single thing has to be spelled out in this case because they can't agree on anything. And even when the judge says this is when you can visit and this is when you can call, it still doesn't work out. And one accuses the other of trying to sabotage it. I mean, it is just a nightmare.
There are a lot of parents, I would imagine, out there who feel the same way toward their ex, but work, you know, kind of in a more mature way because of the kid.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
This is true. And you know, look, I mean, I don't want to dump on I really didn't do this to dump on Alec Baldwin. I mean, I think that there was something important that came out here for this little girl. But, God, you know, when you call your kid a pig once and it resonates through your brain, how do you then say, that sounded pretty good, I'll do it a second time? That's the part that really gets me.
What do you make of this? And this is Harvey Levin on the line from TMZ.com, of course, talking about Alec Baldwin, Kim Basinger, and Little Ireland. What do you make of the bodyguard that has now suddenly appeared with Ireland everywhere she goes? Is that to protect her from being kidnapped by Alec Baldwin and his henchmen, or is it for some other reason just because now she's high profile?
I can't confirm it's a bodyguard. I mean, he's a pretty big dude.
He's just a friend?
I can't confirm it.
She just has a Samoan friend?
Dating him. he is not going to kidnap her. I mean,
no, of course not.
It's not going to happen. So, but you know what? It is really, really bad. It's just really bad. And when you have that kind of those layers of hatred, I don't know how you get over it.
You're a lawyer. In the history of court cases, has there ever been a judge that took the kid away from both parents and said, "You nut for you. Neither of you get the kid."
You know, if I'm sure there have been cases like that. And, you know, well, I mean, and I'm not suggesting in this case, but there are a lot of cases where, you know, the parents are doing drugs. And if it's really going to be detrimental to the child, the judge could do that. The judge could strip both parents of custody. That's not the case here. But Alec Baldwin, at least temporarily, is not allowed to see his kid. And that may change on May 4th. But I'm told both of them are going to be there on May 4th, which is next week.
Oh, cool.
And that should be quite the hearing.
Yeah, no kidding. Knockdown, drag out.
Last question for you, Harvey, because I know you got to go. You say that they're not really divorced in that they are still so invested emotionally in hurting one another. Have they moved on romantically? Because I'm trying to think. I don't remember seeing Alec Baldwin with someone or Kim Basinger with someone.
No,
what's the deal there?
He was, and I'm blanking on this, but he was with somebody. I know he was dating somebody a year or so ago.
But neither has remarried.
Neither has remarried, no. You know what? I think it's really hard when you have that kind of emotion to bring anybody else into your life. I just don't think there's much room.
Yeah. And who would want to get involved with this?
Well, because it's probably, you know, you can imagine what the private conversations are.
Sure. Oh, my God. If that's, yeah, absolutely.
It would be ugly.
So you don't see yourself going to the pokey, the joint, the pen, the clink.
I'm thinking I'm a free man, but I mean, after hearing that interview this morning, I'm, you know.
You're heading for the cooler, the hooskow, the slammer?
Harvey Levin, head of the Jewish mafia.
That's what I hear. Folks, make sure to put it in your bookmarks or your favorites if you can. TMZ.com is the site for all your entertainment news. Harvey the Hammer Levin, always great to catch up with you. Thanks for coming on K-Rock.
See you guys.
Thanks, dude. Bye.
Ralph is here with the showbiz. Good morning, Ralph.
Why is Heroes so great?
That's what I want to know.
Writing, well, directing, acting?
Mm-hmm. Last night, you missed it, was the return of the final five episodes of this season's Heroes, and last night's episode, just I can't stop talking about it in the other room. I can't stop thinking about it. It just ruled.
Mohinder?
Mohinder on the ceiling.
That
Siler
was cool.
Getting his ass kicked.
That was cool. First, he cut his head open. Remember that?
Oof. Petey Petrelli with a shard of glass stuffed in the base of his spine.
Claire's creepy grandma with superpowers we don't know about.
Linderman turning out the powers of his own, trying to save the world. Just so good. If you're a fan like I am, you might want to know, I just found this website. It's called VotePetrelli.com. It's Nathan Petrelli's campaign site for his run for Congress.
Oh, no kidding.
And if you go there, they have all kinds of, they have his platform listed and all his background, and you can also buy merchandise. So I've ordered myself a Vote Petrelli baseball cap that I'll be wearing all summer long.
Are we that gay?
I am.
Yes.
Love me some heroes.
Is the answer to that.
It's the best damn show.
I ordered a Dylan Panthers t-shirt the other day, Lisa May, from Friday Night Lights.
Gay.
So you can remember that show.
I'm sorry, Lisa.
In absentia.
I love that show.
It's coming back. Come on. I'm just saying, as geeky as you are for buying your hero's hat, I just bought a Friday Night Lights t-shirt, so I'm right there with you.
But at least Petrelli's really running for something. His fictional football team.
I have a fictional football team
t-shirt. I so wish I could register to vote in New York so I could vote for Petrelli.
He's not.
I'll never wait to get him in office.
Yeah.
Shanna Mokler was the one who posted Paris's email and phone number on her MySpace page.
Oh, wow. She's stirring up trouble there on the MySpace, isn't she?
Boy, when we say Hollywood's like high school with money, never has it been more true than it is these days.
Yep.
Apparently, Shanna Mokler has a little bit of a tiff going with Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan, so she posted on her MySpace page Paris's home phone number and email address, and also the email address of Lindsay Lohan. The poop has hit the fan, as they say, and Hilton's representatives are saying this is an invasion of privacy, and it's caused Paris to immediately change her contact information. It was a childish, mean-spirited thing to do. We are not going to dignify such an action with any additional comment, he said after a paragraph of comment. So I guess the number's no good, even if you have it now. But apparently some sort of squabble going on amongst the girls, and this is how she wreaked havoc with their personal lives. And Lindsay's people saying it's not even her real email address.
What so a burn!
Meh, they said, spelled M-M-M-L-P-H-U-U-G. Meh. it's good to be Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
He's got a new girlfriend. Star Magazine's reporting that the 52-year-old actor was rather taken by one of the actresses he starred with in Perfect Stranger, a young lady named Tamara Feldman, who was diabolically hot and 26. Please enjoy.
That's so hot.
Yeah. Meanwhile, relationship troubles for Tony Parker and Eva Longoria. They are fighting over wedding plans.
Oh, dear God.
Star Magazine reports that Eva wants to invite her good friend Mario Lopez, but Tony doesn't want him there. Since Mario and Eva were hanging out during the 2 months that she and Tony were separated.
That's hot.
And apparently Tony's feeling a little intimidated by her former boyfriend being at the wedding.
Why is he bad?
Which one, Mario or Tony?
Tony.
I don't think you invite your exes to your wedding, though, really. Do you?
Maybe not, but...
Do you?
If she really was hitting that hard, you think she would invite him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So when he's on away games, she's getting some home court advantage. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either, but it sounded good.
Sounded dirty, so I liked it. American Idol tonight is the performance show where finalists will be singing life anthems.
Life anthems.
Yes.
Life anthems.
Yes. I'm not quite sure what kind of music falls into that genre, but I bet it'll be a lot of Up With Me kind of songs.
I think it's going to be, I don't know either, I haven't heard a word about this, but it's got to be like those gay disco anthems like Ain't No Stopping Us Now and I Will Survive and songs like that where people just feel good about themselves when they sing them.
Yeah.
Maybe this? Something like that?
No.
Not so much.
I don't think
no,
so.
No gourd whore?
I was singing like Against the Wind and stuff like, you know what I'm saying? Like maybe
against
speaker
the wind.
Stuff. You know?
No, not
the wind.
I'll pay you $1 million if someone sings Against the Wind on American Idol tonight.
Those like cheesy motivational songs like from the 70s. Like
right.
Songwriter stuff.
Like Simply the Best by Tina Turner. That
yeah,
kind of stuff.
That's more, yeah. I think, what we're
I
looking
think
for, Michael.
Against the Wind is really, it does not really
How do you
apply.
Come up with the term life anthems, though? It doesn't mean anything
because
to anyone.
Because they're just desperate. They're out of types of music.
Because
let's throw in a bunch of songs that are
they asked
up with
Ryan
me.
What he and his friends sing at the spa, and that's what he came up with, his life anthems.
I Will Survive.
Right.
First, I was afraid.
Yeah, there we go.
Tell Sound like that?
No, those are Pixie anthems.
That's right. Very cool. Okay. See, if they did that song, I would watch, but they don't.
What if they did songs about shoes? Then we're talking.
Dude, if they do that, I would watch as well, because that's the other best song ever recorded.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with your life?
I'm going to get what I want.
Sanjay is gone.
Yep.
Shoes. Shoes.
Yeah, shoes.
Oh my God. Shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some shoes.
Yeah.
Let's get some shoes.
Here's my favorite part.
Let's get some shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some shoes.
Okay.
Shoes. Shoes.
The judges would stand up and applaud.
Oh my God. Shoes. Shoes.
Ryan would so be boogieing in the wings to that one.
Do you boogie?
Yeah.
All right.
If you'd like to lay some money down on the American Idol odds, PaddyPower.com, a gambling website, has posted the most recent odds for the winner of the season of American Idol. Melinda Doolittle apparently is the favorite, going off at 4-5.
No neck.
Jordan Sparks, Bean's favorite, is a 7-4. Blake Lewis, the human beatbox, is 5-1. Lakeisha Jones, an early favorite, has fallen back to 11-1 odds.
No one is having a worse time on American Idol as a contestant than her. She is she's doing everything but crying up there. Yeah. Miserable on the stage.
Hates being there.
Why do you people watch this show?
The long shots are Chris Richardson and Phil Stacey, the giant zombie-looking dude, at 40-1. Yeah. Phil's the one being touted by VoteForTheWorst.com. So
I go where they go.
Take that for what it's worth. And Wednesday will be the big charity concert, Idol Gives Back. Hollywood Reporter today says that Ellen DeGeneres will serve as host for the Wednesday night show. 2 hours, by the way, is the charity show.
Wow.
Such guests as U2's Bono, Gwen Stefani, Pink, Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, Celine Dion, Earth, Wind & Fire, Il Divo, Keira Knightley, Hugh Grant, Josh Groban, Jack Black, Helen Mirren, Rascal Flatts, Quincy Jones, Annie Lennox. And I got very excited when I heard there was a rumored duet between Celine Dion and Elvis Presley. I was hoping that would mean Celine was dead.
Yeah.
And they will be singing together in the afterlife. But no, apparently some digitalization will be done where they take Elvis and Celine sings along with him.
That'll be
as
great.
As if that's supposed to impress us. I hate when they do that. I hate that duets album where people sing with dead people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that impressive.
Is this a live TV show or are they taping it?
Live.
Live, okay.
Well, I think it's live on the East. I don't know if it'll be live out here or not, but more or less.
All right.
New DVDs in stores today. Planet Earth, if you haven't been watching, here's your chance to catch up on all the episodes of this amazing nature show that's been over on the Discovery Channel. There's two versions, by the way. I didn't know that they re-recorded all the narration for the American version with Sigourney Weaver. Sir David Attenborough did the original British version that showed up.
Oh, I only saw the Hearst.
Our version. They're both available, though, on the box set if you want to pick them up. Deja Vu with Denzel Washington, Night at the Museum with Ben Stiller, The Queen with Helen Mirren's Oscar-winning performance, and one of my favorite TV shows from the Adult Swim on Cartoon Network, Moral Oral, also available today. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kelly Clarkson, speaking of American Idol, turns 25. Patty Schimmel, drummer for Hole, is 40 years old today. Cedric the Entertainer turns 43. Melinda Clark, Julie Cooper from The O.C. I hope she works again soon in a new TV series because I miss seeing her on my television. She's 38 years old today. Barbara Streisand, 65, and Shirley MacLaine is 73 years old today.
Again,
this time.
She probably doesn't fear death because she knows she's coming back as a gnat or something when she gets back in her next life. Well, I don't know if I'd look forward to a gnat's life, quite frankly, now that I think about it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You get on the air, you get a prize. It's Kevin Amin's What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. Toll free today, a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of Los Angeles, with the new House of Horrors. You know, it's got your Frankenstein's monster, it's got your Dracula,
Blech.
It's got your Chucky, and it's all there for you at Universal.
Can I hear Chucky again? Okay.
And that's your prize.
Let's go to...
I like theme park!
Is it Mavi?
Mavi,
sorry. From Bell. Good morning. What to do?
Good morning. What it do, Kevin and Bean, Lisa, Ralph? How's everyone doing?
Good, thank
well,
you.
Well, what it do?
Great. I wanted to talk to you guys about Heroes last night. Oh my God, it was so amazing.
Wasn't it an awesome comeback episode?
Yes. Was I the only one screaming at the screen, like when Siler and Peter were fighting? I was like, use your freezing power, you know? Like...
I'm sorry, you were screaming at the screen?
At the TV.
Yeah, I was too. I was rooting for Peter there. I got very upset by that.
But no. It's
but then Mohinder came and saved the day, so it all worked out.
I know. That was so amazing. That was unexpected.
I was screaming, pull the damn glass out of his head. I was screaming that for 20 minutes.
I thought that Mama Petrelli was going to save him or like bring him back to life or something.
No, I knew so Claire Bear was going to come in and just knock it out.
I'm sorry, Claire Bear?
Yeah
Claire Bear.
All right.
That's what they call her.
Have we what?
Oh, no, I was just going to let you know about this podcast. It's really cool that if you listen to it, like, they give you a lot of spoilers and they catch you up on the episode. It's a 10th Wonder podcast. I download it from iTunes every Wednesday.
10th Wonder on the podcast on iTunes. Okay, I'll check that out.
It's funny you would say that because I was confused last night by a lot of it. I was like, I don't remember. Well, how come with that? So maybe I need that.
Yeah, this podcast will definitely clear everything up.
I don't like spoilers, though. I don't want to know spoilers.
Well, they do spoilers at the end of the podcast, and the podcast is usually like 50 minutes. So they usually say like spoilers coming up.
So okay. So turn it off. Good. They give the alert. Because someone tried to tell me what Linderman's power was before the episode aired, and I just didn't want to know. I didn't want to hear it.
Right. Well, actually, that was on the graphic novel on the BBC website.
Okay.
Well, you know a lot of stuff, Bobby.
Mavi has now gone a step further than we're comfortable with.
Yes, she has.
Graphic novel.
A bit of a geek, but I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Mavi, or whatever your real name is.
Linderman, that can heal, man.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
James in Long Beach, good morning.
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
Good morning, Lisa May. Ralph, you're a genius. And what I want to talk about is Psycho Mike is a fool. He had Hayden Panettiere in front of him, and he decided to talk about himself.
Yeah, we know.
We're more
disappointed than you are.
It's not a decision for him as much as it's just when he opens his mouth, that's what comes out.
It's a compulsion.
Those that didn't hear it, this is Psycho Mike talking to Hayden Panettiere.
Sexier Latin heartthrob, me or Wilmer Valderrama?
Okay, now you can't do this to me because I see him all the time.
Yes, and now you're seeing me.
I see you again.
Be honest and objective.
I think you're both very sexy. So.
Yes, you got that right, sister.
That's not funny!
Yeah, thanks for the insight, Mike. We appreciate it.
All right, let's go to Justin in Dana Point. Good morning, Justin.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
The other day when it was raining really hard all day, I was driving home from work, and they have this jerk that lives across the street. He's this really rich guy, and he's just a snob, and I was driving by, and it was late in the afternoon, and he has a $70,000 BMW that he just bought, and he had the top down the entire day.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Now we've got a $70,000 aquarium.
That's awesome.
We thought about not telling him, but we felt kind of bad, so we knocked on his door, and we're like, dude, your top's been down all day. And he's like, oh, no, and he told us that it was probably his ex-wife that got in an argument that morning. So he thinks that she came by and took his keys and put his top down.
Fantastic. See, if I were you, I would have put the hose in it. Put the hose in the car, turn it on, then go,
it on.
Hey, how come you got to, why is the,
throwing some koi in there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Doug in Baldwin Park, good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, Doug.
Hey, how's it going? I want to talk about the greatest show on air today. It's called Scarred.
Oh, boy, is that painful.
Just to give you a little insight on what happens last week, dude goes up to do a rail, misses the skateboard, lands in between his legs.
Yep.
Yes.
Slides all the way down. The worst part is there's a jagged metal edge at the end.
Yeah.
Rips him in half.
But at least they don't show it again and again in slow-mo. Yeah. At least they don't do that.
And
so they got that going for it.
He said, I knew there was something wrong when I fell down there and I felt it outside of my sack.
All right. Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for the call. That's pretty rough.
And go Miami Heat.
Was that Jack?
I believe it was.
Sounded like it. Did it? You?
Let's go to David.
I was on my sack.
David in Long Beach. Good morning.
Good morning. What it do, guys?
Well, what it do, nephew?
Everybody was watching Heroes last night, but anybody watched the show afterwards, The Real Wedding Crashers?
Nope.
That didn't look good to me. You know why? Because I hate the ending when they go, this wedding's been crashed!
Dude, you are so crashed!
Woo!
Burn!
And nobody knows what that means.
Yeah. Dude, it was great, though. I mean, it's like a hidden camera show. Come on.
Dude, I'm all punked out. That whole genre of, oh, hey, we got you, haha, I'm done.
This is way better than punk, though, I think.
What but part of this show do you think we don't understand, David?
I think we get it.
Here's the
they
deal.
Do wacky stunts, and everyone's really shocked, and then it's revealed that the whole thing was a setup, and they've all been played a massive practical joke.
And I don't want to watch anybody's wedding, by the way. I don't care whether it goes badly or it goes perfectly. I just don't want to watch anyone's wedding. It's just, it's a boring topic to make a television show about. Thank God the ratings were horrible, so we're not likely to have to endure very many of them.
Oh, that's funny. If somebody...
a guy lands like a parachute in the middle of the wedding. My bad, he says.
And then the pastor took a call?
Yeah.
The guy minister?
Yeah.
On the phone?
Yes. And somebody drops the cake.
You want to risk one more and take Mary in L.A. before we get out of here, because she's calling about Alec Baldwin, topic of the day, of course, with the voicemail message that he left for his daughter, Ireland. Hey, Mary, what'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
What'd it do? What's going on? You're calling now. It's your turn to speak.
Yeah, so I'm calling in regards to the big story about Adam Baldwin and the remark he made about his daughter a pig. And I want to say, you know, it's clear that we all know that the law enforcement, for years, as long as I can remember, has been called pigs. And right. Like I said, there's people all in homes all over the nation, the world, mm-hmm. they're calling their children names.
That's
maybe
true.
They're not calling them pigs, but they're calling them other things like stupid. Well, yeah. That's a derogatory statement. So any derogatory right. word you call your kid is not a good thing. And so I think it just take this out, and Adam Baldwin, say a little bit for Adam Baldwin, because there's parents all over calling their children names.
Right. Okay, hold on. Mary, let me stop you.
Adam Baldwin is not alone in this. You're right.
Mary, let me say, are you saying you're for Adam Baldwin because a lot of other parents do it, or are you saying you're against him and something bad should happen to him? I don't understand.
I don't think that what he did is correct.
No.
I'm saying that they're making too big of an issue out of it. Because many, many parents call their children names, not necessarily pig, but derogatory names nonetheless.
Like what?
He's being singled out.
What other names?
Stupid.
Huh? I'm sorry?
Stupid, yeah. Okay. Calling your kid stupid is damaging.
If you call a kid stupid long enough, they're going to begin to think they're stupid.
Right.
Okay, so...
Well, do you think, like, calling it...
You call them lazy, they're going to become lazy because, hey, you continue calling me lazy, so, okay, I might as well be lazy. Mm-hmm.
You think calling attention to it and saying it's wrong might help some parents realize it's wrong?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, then. Okay. I don't know what you're saying.
Well, then I think, you think if you call a child drunk enough, he'll start drinking early in the morning?
Mary, what time do you hit the bottle?
I have never been a drinker.
Okay. When
really?
Did you smoke out?
Huh?
What time did you start smoking this morning?
Time did I start smoking?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gee, you guys. I'm just here in my natural state. Are you guys in a natural state?
Not as natural as yours.
I wish I was in your state, whatever it is.
So you guys think that Adam Baldwin is should be single
okay.
now just because he's a celebrity?
Absolutely.
And somebody got hold of a tape.
Yes, right. I think he's being singled out because he's a celebrity, Adam.
Absolutely. Aww. And but what Lisa says is right, is I think that only positive can come from this. I think he'll think more closely before he leaves another message like that for his daughter. And I think other parents will say, wow, that is damaging. I've learned something today, and I'll try to hold my temper when I get angry at my children. I think this is a positive for everyone involved.
Okay, well, looking at it and thinking about it, I hope that it will be that way.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary. I'm glad we were able to have this discussion.
All right, thank you.
Is there a way we could get you into rehab?
Coachella, I think, would be the greatest rehab you could get me.
Coachella?
Yeah. Coachella. Straighten you right out.
Turns out that's not rehab, but thank you for calling.
All right.
And I thought Adam Baldwin was dead.
Yeah.
She's poor Adam, though. He's just hearing it from everybody. Isn't
he is.
Just
poor Adam.
Sad. All right, let me see. Thanks to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Very strongly
Guilty.
Rebuffed Alec Baldwin's remarks about Harvey, by the way, that he was in the mob and killed a guy. Harvey says that is not the case, just
Ralph.
So you know, officially.
He's just trying to play it on the DL.
Thanks to
Uscal.
Speaking of DL, thanks to DL Hughley for joining us today. He'll be appearing at the Hermosa Beach Comedy and Magic Club this Wednesday through Friday. Go to comedyandmagicclub.com or 310-372-1193. Funny guy. And thanks to Big Game James Worthy for joining us today. NBA Playoffs Game 2, Lakers versus Suns, is tonight on KCAL Channel 9. Now in high def for the first time. Pre-game at 7, tip-off at 7:30.
He called you ugly.
He did, as a matter of fact. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have the Kevin and Bean Artist of the Day.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
Oh my god, shiz. Let's get some shiz.
Zach Taylor Orko's new stuff. I think that's fantastic.
I'm pretty sure that's not Zach.
Oh, Liam Sullivan.
Yes.
That's who it is, yeah.
He should be doing a duet with Maxwell, that guy we talked to.
Samwell, yeah.
Butt. Yeah, what in the butt guy.
That would be good. Also, tomorrow we have LaQuisha, the next Pussycat Dolls, has their season finale as they pick somebody.
So we find out who gets to wear the boa?
That's what it looks like.
Sweet.
We have Matt Dunphy, who's the creator of the NineInchNailsHotline.com website, and we have to talk to him about the promotion for this CD, which is nutty beyond words. They're out there in buses, and they're blindfolded, and they're taken to a secure location, and then the SWAT team moves in, and then Trent plays a song, and I don't know what the hell's going on with this, but
hey,
it's a little scary.
They're leaking songs by putting them on an MP3 player and leaving them in a bathroom in Portugal. That's how they're getting songs out to their fans on the internet now. It's just, it's gotten crazy, this whole year zero thing.
They may have lost their mind. Also, tomorrow we have J.S. Jaguar from the Ducks as they begin round two of the playoffs against the Canucks. We have tickets for that game as well tomorrow morning.
Go Ducks.
Speaking of the Kevin Amin curse, by the way, which I know doesn't exist.
Right. Yeah.
But didn't we have an actor on our show yesterday from the Heroes TV show for the first time ever on the Kevin Amin show? Didn't that happen?
Yeah, we had the guy who played Isaac. Yeah.
Isaac the painter. Yeah.
And your point?
That's true.
Our point is, did anyone see last night's episode?
Dead.
This curse is just getting out of control.
Dad just lost his job. They lost his job, thanks to you guys. Nice work.
They may have shot that show. I don't think it's live.
No, they do it live.
They do it live.
It's like a play.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is we have the guy on 12 hours later. He's out of work. Here's a guy who's had a very successful season on Heroes. Talks to us. Boom. Gone.
Cut his head off.
Here's what I'm saying.
They ate his brain.
What I'm saying is J.S. Jaguar happens to think we're a good luck charm because of what happened in the past.
And he would know.
Boy, I hope so.
I hope that's true.
He would know. And also tomorrow we have more Coachella tickets. Your chance to win Friday, Saturday, or Sunday as it is this weekend.
Cat Corbett is next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including the Butthole Surfers. How about Red Jumpsuit Apparatus? Foo Fighters, Killers. Speaking of Nine Inch Nails, we'll hear their new one called Capital G. Bob Marley, Incubus, and more after this on K-Rock.